flared up again. The Republican presidential candidate says it was his first wife who pushed for divorce 3 years ago, 3 decades ago, but court documents obtained by CNN suggest otherwise. CNN's Alan Duke says there are questions about how it all played out.
Why would, a couple of months after that, Jackie Gingrich hire her own lawyer and file a challenge? In fact, filing a petition asking the judge to reject the divorce and denying that it was irretrievably broken.
A delegation of South Korean citizens returned today from their 2-day visit to the North, where they paid their respects to the deceased North Korean leader Kim Jong-il. They also met with his son and chosen successor Kim Jong-un. Texas authorities today expect to release the identities of 7 family members who were fatally shot by a man dressed as Santa Claus at a Christmas gathering. They say the shooter was a member of the family and also is dead. Authorities in Waterville, Maine, continue the search for missing 20-month-old Ayla Reynolds, who was last seen more than a week ago. Lawyer John Nail helped organize a reward fund.
I offer a $30,000 reward to the person or persons who provide us with information leading to the location and return of this young girl to us.
A man accused of shooting and paralyzing a U.S. Army soldier at a homecoming party in his honor was surrendering to authorities in California. 22-year-old Christopher Sullivan had just returned home after being wounded a year ago in a suicide bombing in Afghanistan. His mother says her son now is struggling to recover from the shooting.
Christopher's hanging in. He is on life support, but that's only to sedate him. Little by little, they'll let him breathe on his own. But it's going to take some time.
The shooting resulted from an argument over football. This is CNN Radio.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing.
It's not real smoke, just water vapor. Crazy.
I can finally relax without sucking in all those chemicals and tar.
No secondhand smoke.
Quit thinking about it. Make the switch to American Blue Tip right now. It's everything you love about smoking without the tar, tobacco, and carcinogens. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call now for your risk-free trial of American Blue Tip. Call 1-800-673-2635. That's 1-800-673-2635. Quit stalling and switch right now. Call 1-800-673-2635. That's 1-800-673-2635.
There's a lot less tinsel in Tinseltown this year. Despite a relatively strong Christmas weekend for the movie business, it fell far short of rescuing Hollywood from an abysmal box office performance, especially late this year. Industry tracker Hollywood.com says for all of 2011, movie ticket sales are expected to be down 4.2% from 2010, as higher ticket prices fail to offset a 5% decline in movie attendance. The movie business notwithstanding, economic conditions are getting better ever so slowly in this country, and that trend is expected to continue next year. An AP survey of economists finds predictions for faster growth in 2012, GDP increasing 2.4%, with the European debt crisis remaining the biggest potential spoiler. But unemployment is expected to barely fall from the current 8.6%. Japan's Nikkei finished down 0.5%, most European indexes higher, S&P futures slipping. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over 1 million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call 1-800-822-7794. That's 1-800-822-7794. Call 1-800-822-7794.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee. But it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
GEICO makes it so simple to save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. But why stop there? GEICO finds every possible way to save you even more money. Good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, even good student discounts. And don't forget our looking fine discount, a discount for the attractive folk like yourselves. Okay, there's not really a looking fine discount, just seeing if you're paying attention. It's not a bad idea, though.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
I'm looking to promote something new called Our Walmart, and Our stands for Organization, or United for Respect, and it has to do with Walmart associates looking for a little respect. I was on board. So let me get to my next guest. Joining us now is Joe. Joe has worked for Walmart for 4 years. He requires the American Disabilities Act accommodation, and he worked this past Black Friday, and we'll ask him about that in just a moment. He says that it is time for people to show a little more respect, and that comes from inside the organization. Joe became a member of Our Walmart and believes in the value and effectiveness of Walmart associates working together to make Walmart a better employer. Not a bad way to do it from the inside out. Joe has asked that we stick to his first name, and I'm fine with that. He does work at a Walmart on the west side of the state, and he joins us now on First Shift. Joe, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Hi, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. First of all, let me talk. You've been with Walmart for 4 years now. Some say you deserve a medal for that alone. It's not always the easiest place to work, is it?
It has its challenges and it has its up days. I'm not going to knock it for that. I mean, I do like my job. I'm not going to say it because there have been its positive moments, like every job, but it has its stripes and has its struggles. I'm going to go with that as well on a positive, and its struggles.
And I respect that, and I've often said, and I'll say it again, when I tell people that, my issues with Walmart are never with the associates. It's never with the greeters. It's never with the cashiers. It's with management. And that's always been my problem with Walmart and always will be my problem with Walmart until they start showing the people that I just mentioned a little more respect. Before we get into exactly what Our Walmart is all about, Joe, if you could tell us a little bit about your story. I said that your job requires American with Disability Act accommodations. Can I ask more specifically what accommodations those are?
Yeah, I have some pretty severe, I guess you could call them art memory impairments and memory impairments and like chronic disability issues that limit me on how I can function. And I have applied for it now 3 times within my company, and each time it's been denied. Each time I go back to a different doctor within the system, and I get new documentation. I've submitted documentation to them numerous times, and each time I've been denied. And I just every time, it doesn't matter how many times I submit documentation to them, I've been denied. And upon this third time, actually, I can't submit any more documentation to them. So I actually have to file with the ADA or the ADA now in the EEOC because I can't submit any more documentation because now my case cannot be reopened with them.
Okay, well, that doesn't seem to be terribly fair. So it seems to me then as we talk about, Joe, a little respect in the workplace, tell us a little bit about Our Walmart. And I'm going to give people they've got a Facebook page, by the way. And if you just go to Facebook and you search OURWMT, O-U-R-W-M-T, and we'll actually put it on our Facebook page as well. You'll find it pretty quickly. But tell us a little bit about the Our Walmart campaign and why you got involved with it, Joe.
I got involved with Our Walmart because when I was in Arizona at the time, and I was at a store in Arizona that I was, I went from a store here in Michigan to a store in Arizona where I was being treated, you could say, grotesquely unfairly, from which I'm an associate who I pride myself on knowledge, because knowledge is where we associates can really strengthen ourselves, is what I feel like. They don't give us access to policies like we should. They just have them on our quote-unquote wire, where they say your policies are here. If you want to go for them, you have to do it on your time and read them on your time. I know my policies very well, and that's how I've protected myself within this company for 4 years. And at that point in time, I found that they were treating me unfairly and breaching policy upon their own accord, and that's when I got in touch with Our Walmart through Facebook. And, you know, I found that if this is the one way we can say, hey, Walmart needs to stand up to what their policies say they need to do, and they haven't been doing that. They've been breaching their own policies because us as associates have been letting them do so. And if we stand up as a group and say, hey, you need to hold to your own policy of respect to the individual and, you know, treat us as the respect that we deserve, that's what we need.
You know, and again, I don't. There's nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing that is odd about that. There's nothing that's demanding about that. There, you know, this is just, I would think, at some level, common courtesy. And so, it certainly does, you know, beg the question at some level, you know, why do they not treat you with a little common courtesy? You would think, you know, and I think you're right, Joe, at some level, a knowledgeable employee is going to be their greatest asset. There's no question that's clear. And so you want to protect, don't you, at some level, want to protect those assets?
Absolutely. I want to protect not only my assets, but I want to protect my company's assets because I'm a fairly substantial shareholder within the company. Not many of my fellow associates feel they should purchase Walmart stock, and I think that's a problem because they don't know this, but you can actually vote on when have the shareholder meetings. You get emails where they automatically proxy vote you for who you can vote for. Last year, when they did the proxy voting, they automatically tried to proxy vote me for Mike Duke and all the other CEOs and different policies of we were going to no longer have our MyShare, which is our incentive bonus they add on for us. They were trying to get rid of that. Well, I chose not to let them proxy vote for me. 98% of associates choose to let them proxy vote for us. That's an issue. Associates don't know that they do that. And every associate who's a shareholder chooses to not know that because they're not looking into the policies. And if they don't tell us, we don't know.
Well, and of course, that proxy vote, Joe, means that they're going to take that, they're going to take the way that they want you to vote and vote for you. And again, in the way they want you to vote. And you do have a voice. I find it I didn't even know you guys could buy your own stock in your own company. I didn't know that.
Oh, absolutely. We buy our own stock. I have about 25 shares in Walmart, and I find that it's absolutely important that I not let them proxy vote for me, because like when I vote in an election, it's my voice, and if I choose to let them vote for me, it's like a rigged election. It's not appropriate, and it's not fair. So we all, as associates, need to be aware, you know, when we have the annual shareholder meetings and we have our voting, watch your email address associated with your account, because you will be asked, do you want a proxy vote? And your proxy vote's coming up. Look at your proxy vote. Who's are you going to vote for? Because you can change who's going to be the CEO of Walmart. Who is it going to vote for? And if we start saying we don't want to have this person as CEO or we don't want this policy to go through, that's going to send a statement a lot bigger than what's going to happen next or what's going to go on. Because that's how they got rid of my share and our other bonuses, that their contribution to us. And that's what the issues are going on, because they're doing that without us knowing, because they're not letting us vote anymore.
Oh, that's very clever. I mean, that's very, very clever. So what do you hope, ultimately, what do you hope that the Our Walmart campaign will ultimately provide for its associates, Joe?
We're looking to gain respect in our stores, hopefully a better living wage, because most associates right now are making less than $10 an hour. I'm one of the few associates because I'm third shift, and I suffer for being third shift, but most of my family is, so I'm lucky there. Most associates are making less than $10 an hour. Unless you've been there for a long time, contrary to what Walmart says on their website, with their corporate website, we don't make $13 an hour starting wage. I'm sorry. if I made $13 an hour starting wage, I wouldn't be eligible for food stamps. I don't take food stamps, but I wouldn't be eligible for them if I made that much money. I feel it's not appropriate for them to advertise $13 an hour. Even when I got hired in, I said, hey, you're saying, you know, I can get $13 an hour. They told me, you know, it doesn't matter. You can, we say that on the website, but it doesn't matter. You know, and it doesn't, you know, they don't. You can say that, but it doesn't matter what they say.
Well, wait a minute, Joe. Wait a minute here. They're advertising that their starting wage is $13 an hour, but it clearly is not. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, that's what they say.
All right. Joe, hey, listen, we got to take a break. Can you stay with me a little longer?
Absolutely.
All right, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. Joe is with us. He'd prefer we not use his last name. We respect that. New, brand new group out there called Our Walmart, O-U-R Walmart, Organization United for Respect. And you're going to find them on Facebook. Just search Our, O-U-R-W-M-T. And if we haven't gotten it on the Facebook page, we will do that.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, Tony Trupiano with you indeed. Thanks for punching in this morning. We are visiting with Joe. Joe is a Walmart associate from the west side of the state. There's a brand new group that has started called Our Walmart, O-U-R, Our Walmart, and you're going to find them online at forrespect.org. If you want to find them on Facebook, just search for O-U-R-W-M-T. Joe has been discussing with us, you know, why he is personally involved with the Our Walmart campaign, and I think it's interesting. I've been with this Walmart or anti-Walmart movement for a lot of years now, and it's interesting to see as this is progressing that working with the folks that are already there. Now, Joe, and thank you for staying with us, Joe. If it's my understanding, to be a member of Our Walmart, you either have to be a former or current associate, correct?
That is correct. I wanted to clarify something real quick. It's an average wage of $13 an hour. I did misspeak there. I do apologize for that. But, yeah, you do have to be a former member of Walmart or a current member of Walmart. And, unfortunately, we do exclude management from that. It's nothing personal against management, but it is for hourly associates only, because we do feel that the issues are with the salary-ish members of management in that aspect.
No, that's fair. That's fair, and I appreciate the clarification there. That's great. You know, Joe, I think it's important as we take a look. It's not like, you know, I think it's important to have this discussion. When you buy something at Walmart, it doesn't mean that something, whatever it is somehow inferior, because it's not.
Right.
A bottle of Tide is a bottle of Tide no matter where you buy it.
Right.
So this isn't about not wanting you to shop at Walmart because you're buying inferior product. It's about, and it's not about you not shopping at Walmart, period. It's about Walmart stepping up and doing the right thing and treating their associates with a little respect. That's what this is, and that's what this has always been about.
Correct. That's what Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, was originally a part of. And when this is one thing that I was going through my notes on, and the Walton, the founders of the Walton and people, I guess, they're currently buying back Walmart stock at a staggering rate, and under that, the Waltons will actually re-own a controlling portion of Walmart stock by 2013. They will re-own a controlling interest in Walmart stock. I just thought I'd throw that out there for everyone.
Well, but the question, Joe, is what does that mean? Do we know what that means, though?
I'm going to to be an optimist here. Because I'm going to go with, because Sam Walton was four associates, that hopefully now that the Waltons will be four associates. Let's just go with that. Because I want to be positive.
I ran across a story, Joe, the other day that showed that the six members of the Walton family own as much as 30% of the wealth in this country. That's a lot of money.
Okay.
Pardon me?
It's a little higher than that.
That's a lot of money, Joe. That's a lot of money. And at some point, you have to ask yourself this question. How much is enough? And you know what? I'll go with you. I'll go with your optimism. I like to be an optimist. I certainly do. That I'd like to think, like you do, that the reason the Walton family's buying back all the stock is so that they can start not only treating their associates right, but, you know, you remember, maybe you don't, but I remember the days where Walmart was associated with Made in America. That was their slogan.
Absolutely.
When you thought Walmart, you thought Made in America. Today, when we think Walmart, we think Made in China.
And I work at nights, and I understand that, because absolutely, when I see boxes on the shelf, all I see is Made in China. I see probably, when I see 90 boxes on the shelf, maybe two or one will be Made in America. And it's really heartbreaking to me, and it's disgusting to me. And there are websites, and places I go where I make sure I only buy stuff that's made in America. I don't like spending money where I work anymore because it's all made in China. And I hate saying that. I may get discounts there, but I don't like to because I know where it's going. And it's frustrating to me because I can't do anything about it. And that's the only way I can do anything about it is, you know, spend my money somewhere else. And I don't like thinking like that, you know?
Let me ask you a question. If they allowed a union and you could join a union, would you?
I guess I would, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I just, you know, wanted to, you know, I just, I think that, you know, with union protection, some of the things that we've talked about, certainly, especially as it relates to the American with Disabilities Act, would be certainly protected under a collective bargaining agreement. You shouldn't have to be chasing down your employer to do the right thing based on law, because all you're asking them to do is to follow the law, right, Joe?
Correct. I've even thrown the law in there and quoted them on the law, and they told me, well, we'll get back to you on that, and I haven't heard any back from them. So when I was telling you about my ADA, when I put that in front of them, they told me, well, they started stuttering, and then they told me, well, we'll get back to you, and I am waiting now for their third determination. And that's kind of where I told them, well, if you don't get back to me, I'm going to put this file with the ADA, and I'm still filing, waiting for them to get back to me.
Well, Joe, I realize that we've given you a little bit of anonymity here. We're not using your last name. But aren't you a little concerned that they're going to find out that you are, you know, speaking out against them and dismiss you from your job?
Section 7 of the Labor Act prevents them from retaliating against me. So that's all I'm concerned about is the law. So thank you, the law, for protecting me.
Well, you know, fair enough, but the law also says that they should be taking care of you with the ADA, and they're not following that very well.
This is very true, but the law is the law, and the law is the law, so.
Well, you know, listen, I'm on your side, so anything happens, all you need to do is give us a call. We got you back on the air in a heartbeat, Joe. There's no question that's true.
Also, there's strength in numbers. You know, the more we have in numbers, the better we're at.
No question, that's true. Tell me, are there other people within the store you're at that are part of the Our Walmart campaign?
I can't really say at this point in time because I don't want to jeopardize their liability, but I can say there are a lot of people interested. But yes, there are quite a few people in my area that have expressed interest in Our Walmart.
Great, great. Well, no, I think it's as I've seen this process grow over the years, from just, you know, literally protesting in front of stores to all the different campaigns that I have been involved with. This one isn't just clever. I think that it's necessary. Certainly, you deserve some respect. Everybody deserves respect. In the workplace, Joe, everybody that shows up every day and does their job should be honored for doing that kind of thing. I don't care what it is you do. If you show up and you do your job, you know, you should be honored. And unfortunately, that isn't always the case. And one of the ways you show respect is by paying people a fair wage and making sure that the laws are followed and that they are protected. That is not happening. Joe, thank you for the generous amount of your time today. Again, it's forrespect.org, and you're going to find them online or on Facebook at Our WMT, O-U-R-W-M-T. Just to search that. Joe, thanks so much.
No problem. You have a great day.
All right.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Are you one of those 11th hour shoppers who's only now realizing that Christmas is this weekend? Well, don't panic, for Jim, the Elf Hightower, is here to help. All you need is a bushel basket of money and the Neiman Marcus catalog of Christmas goodies. As the catalog itself says up front, exceed all expectations without of the ordinary presents your loved ones had no idea they wanted. For example, the Tom Burr table tennis table on page 65. This is not your common rec room ping pong table. It's a contemporary work of art sculpted by this whimsical artist from an unexpected material. Black rubber. How delightful is that? And practical, too, because, as Artiste Burr himself explains, rubber makes the ball bounce. More bounce for your buck. Speaking of which, Burr's table tennis table goes for $45,000. But hurry, he only made 10 of them. But maybe you want something a little more down to earth. Neiman's has just the ticket for you with a back-to-the-earth trip to the Stone Barns Farm. It's a lush 80-acre complex with a bounty of crops and livestock, as well as a posh restaurant named Blue Hill. You're asked to gather six of your friends for this day trip, which will include, quote, a hands-on learning experience. It doesn't say whether that means milking goats, slaughtering a hog, mucking the barn, or what. But it's all yours for $9,500. What a deal. They get some work out of you, and you pay them. Only Neiman Marcus could sell that package. This is Jim Hightower saying there's so much more to choose from, like the $250,000 speedboat or the custom-made computer-activated dancing fountains for a cool $1 million. Isn't it good to know that even in this down economy, there's still a market for such pricey baubles? So get out there and shop. Wall Street is counting on you.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Happy to be with you. I am Tony Trupiano. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate you punching in as we work our way through the holiday. Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends. Began at sundown last night. Certainly, lots of reasons to be optimistic for many of us. But as we have been pointing out on this show, certainly the last 10 days or so, we've been focusing on one of the things, of course, I've talked about on the show is the series that's going on in the Free Press right now about homeless youth. There's also another series going on that we're going to talk about in just a minute with Free Press editorial cartoonist Mike Thompson, which has been it's been fascinating. Every day he's got a new piece, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But, you know, it really does bring to focus, especially after some of the things that we've been talking about this morning, as we look at what the Republicans are doing by taking away more financial opportunity from working people, not to mention the fact that we have not extended unemployment benefits. We still find ourselves really many of us in desperate situations. You begin to wonder how we work our way out of this. And it's not going to be simple, and it's going to take really the collective consciousness of everybody within the sound of my voice and far beyond that. No question that's true. A little later on in this hour, we're going to visit with Ben LaBolt, who is the press secretary for Obama for America. So you can look forward to that a little later on in the hour. But let me turn my attention now to my next guest. Normally, of course, Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press, is with us on Wednesdays. But he asked me yesterday if I would like to have Mike Thompson on the show. Of course, in my world, Mike doesn't know this, but my world, Mike Thompson's a rock star. I absolutely love the work he does at the Free Press. Anybody that reads the Free knows who he is. He's, of course, the editorial cartoonist. There was a time when I actually wanted to do what Mike does. There were two problems. I couldn't draw to save my ass, and I can't even win the caption contest he has, and I've done, I don't know, about 500 of them. So let us turn our attention to this morning to Mike Thompson. Pleasure to have you on First Shift this morning. Mike, thanks for taking the time to be with us, and happy holidays to you.
Well, happy holidays to you too, Tony, and good morning, and thanks for having me on your show. I wanted to say I'm a poor substitute for Steve Henderson, but I'm going to try my best.
Now, you know what? We're happy to have you. I really am thrilled and really want to talk about this series that you're doing this week called Quiet Desperation. And I have to tell you, Mike, as I've been watching it unfold this week, you know, my roots are actually in Oakland County. I kind of grew up there. At one point, I owned a couple of restaurants in Oakland County, and I owned restaurants at a time when in the early to mid 80s, where the economy was not quite as bad as it is today, but it's when the Fierro plant closed, and you know we saw in Pontiac, and I had a couple of restaurants right in the Pontiac area. At that time, I was on the board of the North Oakland Medical Center, which is now Doctors Hospital. I saw, you know, the mental health hospital close there in Pontiac, and I began to see things change. I'm kind of curious, Mike, when you put this piece together, this Quiet Desperation, which people can easily find on your blog at the Free Press. You know, according to this, you've been at this now for 6 months. What made you decide to follow this path?
Well, you know, when I moved to Oakland County, and that's where I live. I'm a Royal Oak resident. My family and I live in Royal Oak. And when I moved here 11 years ago, it really didn't take long to figure out the economic landscape of southeastern Michigan. You know, there was Detroit, which has traditionally been the home of so much economic hardship, and then there was Macomb County, which was, of course, the bastion of the middle class, and then there was Oakland County, which was the bastion of the upper middle class. And like everyone else over the past couple of years, I've been reading stories coming out of the county about some truly alarming statistics of things that are happening inside Oakland County. And that really didn't jibe with the experience that I was having as a county resident, as I drove around. You know, when you drive around Detroit, it's not hard to imagine that there are people in that community who are suffering economically. Yet when you drive around in Oakland County, you don't immediately get the perception that there is a serious problem, and yet, as I found out, there is a serious problem.
You know, I'm kind of curious, Mike, and for those people that haven't seen this yet, what you've really done is you've taken real life stories, and we've got as of this morning, four of them. The first one was Quiet Desperation in Oakland County, then Ashamed to Ask for Help, Poverty in Oakland County, and then Quiet Desperation, Where Are the Opportunities, which is today's piece. But Mike, I've got to ask, as you built relationships with these people, and what you've done is you've actually you interviewed them and brought them to life through animation, which of course is your gift, and it truly is a gift. It's a fascinating series. It is really interesting to watch these pieces that you've done, these mini movies, if you will. Was it hard to find people that would share their struggle with you?
You know, it was difficult to find people who were willing to talk in Oakland County. I think there's a natural reluctance on people to talk about their problems, and especially if you are a resident of Oakland County and you're living in a community of affluence, and suddenly you find yourself in dire economic straits. That's a pretty hard thing for most people to deal with. And not a lot of people were willing to share their stories in such a candid way that I was looking for. And there are a whole host of reasons why, as I found out.
And you know, as we take a look at least the series that's out as of this morning, is there a particular story that really grabbed you and said, my God, or as you decided to do this series, was there a particular person or story that, you know, again, really grabbed you and said, you know, Mike, there's something going on here. This story needs to be told.
You know, I think what really struck me was I spoke to some young people for this series, two of whom I included in the package. And the difficulty that young people inside the county are having simply getting off the ground is what really struck me. The problems that Oakland County is facing aren't unique to Oakland County, but they're not unique to places like Detroit anymore either. As the auto industry went downhill and as the national economy went downhill, Oakland County was affected. And inside Oakland County, you know, the young people that I spoke with who were having such a hard time getting off the ground, it was really heartbreaking. You know, today's installment, I talked to Brian Ross, who was a 19-year-old I met down at the Occupy Detroit rally. And he had intended on going to college. He wanted to become a doctor. And, his family had experienced some economic hardship. And he is unable to go to school because he's supporting himself now. He is paying his rent, as he said, and paying for food at the cost of his education. And, you know, when you think we as a society, what we're doing to this next generation, it's almost criminal.
Yeah, you know, and Mike, what I found remarkable about his story, and he says, and he illustrated beautifully, and he says, I thought at this point I would be, I'm paraphrasing, of course, I thought at this point I'd be living in a dormitory. But the thought of having to get loans to put myself into debt to $50,000 to $60,000 is just not something that I can do.
Yeah, you know, that's an awful lot to ask of a young person. You know, I don't know what your experience was growing up, but, you know, I was never faced with the proposition of in order to succeed, you must take out so much debt that you're going to be paying it off for the rest of your life. And yet, that's what's happening to young people nowadays. And it's sad to think that, that people would forego the chance to go out and serve the community and better themselves simply because, they can't afford just to take on this crushing debt. Brian, the individual I spoke to today, his dream was to become a doctor. You know, he could have gone out and may still go out and do some good and benefit society, but, you know, there's this huge roadblock that's been thrown in front of him, and it's, you know, in many ways insurmountable for young people.
Absolutely. Very quickly, Mike Thompson, before we have to get to the break in about a minute here, you also tell the story of a young man, I believe it's in Lake Orion or Oxford, who's living, you know, in a tent. Mm-hmm. And again, this idea that you have to, you know, that it comes to this, that, you know, at one point he talks about, you know, living with the mother of his children, you know, and having two jobs, no longer having those jobs. I mean, it is, from a realistic, how do we deal with this perspective? This is just, it's mind-blowing. How do we deal with it?
You know, what I found is, I think I said, the problems that are happening in Oakland County are the problems that are happening everywhere else in America. We used to think we were insulated here in Oakland County. In fairness, the county is still doing relatively well. In fact, it added jobs last year. And the predictions are that it's going to continue to add jobs and continue, hopefully we've bottomed out you know, at least according to the Institute for Research on Labor Employment.
And I'm going to have to ask you, Mike Thompson, hold that thought. We got to get to the break. We'll come right back to you. Mike Thompson, the editorial cartoonist for the Detroit Free Press. I'm Tony Truppiano. First Shift continues after this brief break.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Welcome back. My guest once again, Free Press editorial cartoonist Mike Thompson. He has a, and again, if you just go to the Free Press, go to the staff blogs, go to Mike's Thompson's blog, you're going to find his series, Quiet Desperation. It's a series that he's illustrating and narrating on 6 months of dealing and talking to people who have dealt with the economy in Oakland County. It is titled Quiet Desperation. It is beautifully done. In fact, we pulled a little audio, and Mike, we're gonna let me play this audio so people get a little taste of what this is about. Go ahead, Jeff.
In 2000, Oakland County, Michigan was one of the five most affluent large counties in America. It defined the upper middle class. Today, things still look pretty normal in Oakland. But beneath appearances, statistics paint a very different picture. From 2000 to 2010, home foreclosures jumped from 820 to nearly 10,000 a year, and the annual average monthly unemployment rate quadrupled. More than 90,000 jobs disappeared between 2005 and 2010. Social service agencies are straining under new demands. Gleaners Food Bank reports a 26% jump in food it's sending to Oakland County providers since 2009. Since 2006, the number of school kids in free or reduced lunch programs, a sign of poverty, has increased by as much as 212%. In some school districts, the percentage of people who are calling South Oakland Shelter because they are homeless for the first time has more than doubled in the past 2 years. Oakland County is hailed as the economic engine of southeastern Michigan. And while the county's economy has shown signs of a turnaround, the engine is sputtering badly. People in Oakland County are hurting, while others are overwhelmed trying to address a crisis that is not always obvious. In the coming week, I'll be sharing the stories of a few of these people.
All right, Mike Thompson, that, of course, sets up the series Quiet Desperation. Those numbers are just staggering.
You know, they are staggering, and they really sort of contrast with the perception you get when you're driving around the county. You really do not get the impression that there are a lot of people in Oakland County who are in need. But Oakland County, like everywhere else in America, has not been spared by the Great Recession. I mean, it's not like you can point to some county official and say, aha, it's all his fault, or point to some county policy and say, you know, that's what did it. It's really the national economy that's slamming Oakland County and slamming the rest of the country. No one is immune from this Great Recession, and that was the point of the series.
Well, you know, and again, it is remarkable. I want people to go experience it. I want to talk a little bit, though, Mike, about animating this, because you really do this nice juxtaposition between real video and animation. This is a very ambitious project for you.
Yeah, I've been animating for quite some time, and really what I wanted to do was, use my medium to tell a story, an important story about what's going on in our community. And I wanted to do it in a way that, that I hadn't seen done before. And so I took my animation skills and my reporting skills and combined them, and this is the result.
Well, it's beautifully done. It's remarkable. I have to tell you, of the ones you've done so far, now how many more in the series will there be, by the way?
It's
today,
running through Saturday.
It's running through Saturday. Okay. I have to tell you, the ashamed to ask for help really, really grabbed my attention. That one just really kind of grabbed me. And again, I've also been reading the other series on the Freep this week about the homeless children, which has been chilling to read as well. You know, I got to tell you, you know, it's not like, and I said to the audience earlier this morning, I'm not looking to be Debbie Downer. I'm not. But, you know, there are just some realities that we have to take a look at. And then we look at the political landscape, Mike, and we see that our Congress still can't get along. You know, we see what's happening now with the payroll tax cut. You know, we're going to talk to Ben from Obama for American here in just a moment. You know, I'd like to sound very optimistic. You know, you were saying before we went to the break that, you know, statistically we see things are getting better. But the question is, are they reaching the people that need the help? That's the question, Mike.
Well, you know, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer either, but there is some good news. While researching this this project, I came across a number of wonderful social service agencies in Oakland County. You know, the Monday piece was on the Baldwin Center in Pontiac, which is, you know, a fantastic organization. You know, and then I also spoke with people at Gleaners Food Bank, you know, another wonderful social service organization. And I also spoke with people at the Community Housing Network. So while things may be, you know, bad, there is help. And there are organizations and people out there who are willing and able to offer people who are experiencing economic difficulty to assist them.
Well, yeah, and unfortunately, and I have to say, you know, we've had a lot of these organizations here on the show. Certain Gleaners comes to mind. There's another great organization called Blessings in a Backpack that I just love, Mike Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with them, but
yes, I am. And you know, one of the things I discovered while researching for this project was I'm a Royal Oak resident, and they're trying to get a Blessings in the Backpack program off the ground in Royal Oak. Now, you know, when I drive down Main Street of Royal Oak, I don't think, you know, hungry children, but there's obviously enough need in Royal Oak to warrant such a program. And, you know, that's something I find to be incredibly depressing.
Yeah, well, you know, no child, listen, no one should go hungry, but no child should know that come Friday that they go home that they don't have a meal. They should not know hunger on the weekends. They shouldn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure if your listeners know the story behind Blessings in a Backpack. It's a program that provides children with a backpack full of food to take home.
Yeah, we've had them on the show. Yeah, we've had them on this. Yeah, you know, and in fact, we run a commercial. We put a commercial together for them that we run for free. Probably 3 to 5 times every single day, because I believe in that organization in a huge way, Mike.
Yeah, it's an important organization, and when I spoke with them, they had just gotten in the results from one of the communities in which they have a program, and they talked about the impact it had on MEEP scores, and MEEP scores went up pretty considerably in that community. And I have to think that at least part of that reason is because children are not coming in to take the test hungry.
No, I of course would have to agree with that. I'd love, as we're almost out of time, let me tell you that I find the series that you did, Quiet Desperation, just remarkable. I'm pretty sure that awards are coming your way for this.
Well, that's not really the the primary motive. What I was really trying to do was tell a story about what's happening in this community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I also want to make sure that your listeners know that accompanying the series is a page of links to social service agencies.
Yeah, it's all there. If they go to your blog, they're going to find all the resources. Mike, we're just out of time. Thank you so much, and happy holidays. It was nice to visit with you.
Hey, thank you, Tony. Great talking with you.
Truly my pleasure. We'll be back, folks.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Titled Severance Gate, it's gone far beyond just Severance Gate at this point. And Jeff, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Of course, since you and I were in touch yesterday morning, more news as you report on MLive.com this morning. Wayne County Executive Bob Ficano replaces top officials, vows to end business as usual. That's, I think, your latest piece. So, of course, you've been very prolific on this issue, so you may have even written more since then. Jeff, give us an update in what you and what you feel is really going on here. Is the county executive? Does he finally now get it that maybe whatever has happened is over? He's done. He's got to move on.
It definitely sounds like he is ready to make some big changes within his administration, bringing in former U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Collins as his deputy and a retired Ford executive Ray Byers to replace. Turquia Mullen as Economic Development Director, as well as a new Corporation Council. It kind of seemed yesterday like sort of the grown-ups are not back in charge moment at the Guardian Building. It remains to be seen if these will be substantive changes in terms of how the county operates, but at least symbolically it seemed like a big step yesterday.
Well, it certainly does, and it does make one wonder, you know, for those that aren't aware, Mr. Collins is very much a Republican. Mr. Ficano, very much a dyed-in-the-wool, labor-backed Democrat. And so I think that sends, if not a subliminal message, a pretty obvious message, that he gets that this can't be whatever it was he thought it was. And let's be, at some level, Jeff, honest about this. You know, Bob Ficano basically took the Ed McNamara model of running the county and adopted that when he was elected the county executives. There have not been a lot of changes between that administration and his administration until maybe yesterday.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the people that were around him, it seemed more and more like McNamara 2.0, even on this airport authority board where he appoints four of the seven members. You look at their bios, and these are all people who had ties to McNamara's administration. So, I mean, it's really basically been 25 years of the same government in Wayne County.
Well, I have to ask you, with regard to access to county commissioners, Gary Warnchuk, who is the commission chair, I believe, seems to be very verbose these days, interested in talking, and he seems to have something to say all of a sudden. It makes one wonder because of without this quote unquote severance gate scandal, where we would be with the county. But Jeff, you know, for people that are thinking, well, you know, Bob Ficano's doing the right thing and he's replacing the right people and this is a very responsible way to move forward. We still have an investigation that's going on. I'm not assuming that there's going to be a problem there, but there certainly could be. So you still have an investigation going on. You now have the Turquia Mullen situation where they're either going to arbitrate this or litigate this. This is far from being off the front pages of the paper.
It is. In some ways, the firing of Turquia Mullen earlier this week is maybe sort of the biggest story of all because the airport authority didn't really clarify why exactly they were firing her, and it seemed like they were really opening themselves up for some serious litigation on that. I mean, it was just really ham-fisted. You have one airport authority member, Sam Newhan, asking another, you know, well, what is the cause that we're firing her for cause for? And, the answer is, I'm not going to say. I mean, it's just bizarre.
Well, okay, this I'm not going to say. That doesn't necessarily mean, Jeff Wadrick, that they don't have a reason. I mean,
sure, but I mean, I think it's, you know, and you know, certainly no one should shed tears for Takiya Mullen over any of this. But, I mean, it just seems sort of a basic, you know, good practice to tell people, you know, the crime they've committed, so to speak, before you punish them. I mean, it was, it's just bizarre. I mean, it's simply just for opening up the airport to, you know, a lawsuit. I mean, if you have a reason to fire someone, put it out there and, you know, close the book on the situation.
Well, I didn't find it odd that she showed up the other day, Takiya Mullen, that is, with an attorney. I did find it a bit odd that she also showed up with a publicist. Obviously, she knew something was going on and was prepared for that something, that eventuality. In fact, they also had a statement that just happened to be ready as soon as she was technically fired. So none of this comes as a surprise. The publicist shocked me just a little bit. Your thoughts on that, Jeff?
Yeah, it definitely seems like there's she's very conscious of how this maybe affects whatever is next in her career or her public life. And maybe it's simply the result of some huge PR gaffes she made when this thing first broke, saying that, you know, she earned the money, that, you know, it's her, she's not giving it back. She deserves it. She probably deserves, you know, more for how hard she worked for the county and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it just seemed really tone deaf and kind of, you know, tin pot Republic.
Well, it is interesting, and I just don't remember. I've read so much about this. It may have been your piece, but it may have been another where we talk about the Arab American community now being concerned that, you know, Bob Ficano is, you know, brokering some kind of deal with them, making sure that, you know, they aren't being ignored. At the same time, you know, two of the key people in this saga, in this unfolding saga, are, you know, established members of the Arab American community, and so there's naturally going to be some concern that they're not made to look bad. I don't see it that way. I see them as two individuals just happen to be Arab American, and they get caught in this, but I don't think it's a reflection on that community in general.
Probably not. And you saw yesterday the new corporation counsel, Zina Al-Hassa, you know, also from the Arab American community. And, you know, frankly, Jeff Collins, as U.S. attorney and kind of a rare exception within the Bush administration, seemed to have a really good relationship with the local Arab American community as he was doing, you know, counterterrorism work. So, I mean, I think probably both those two appointments are, I've not talked to anyone in the Arab American community on this, but it's just my, you know, gut instinct that those appointments will be received well in the aftermath of Mullen and Elder.
Do you have, and I'm just wondering if you have any update on what's happening with the FBI investigation since they've announced the investigation? It's actually been quite quiet.
It has been. I don't have any update on that. It seems like mum's the word.
All right. And so we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. Jeff, if you don't mind, I'd love to have you back on from time to time. This, and again,
absolutely,
this is a story that's not going away anytime soon. And certainly I really do appreciate. In fact, we've posted your stuff to our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'd
like,
you
know,
that.
No, absolutely. It's you know, you're giving it a perspective. The Detroit papers aren't giving it. MLive.com is where you're going to find them. Jeff Wadrick, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, this is going to be really fascinating to see how this...
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Seducing teen girls online is easy. A lot of them feel so lonely and misunderstood. I don't even need to lie about my age. They're just glad they're talking to someone.
Someone older I can trust. They're more mature than the guys at my school and understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You just have to tell them they're beautiful and special, and you can wear down whatever suspicions they have.
Have an understanding of real love. It's not all about looks. They know that doesn't matter when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because
I don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you totally trust. I mean, if someone really cares about you, there's no danger in
meeting them. No matter how long it takes, is always the goal. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
One in five kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn more. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-715-3475. 1-800-715-3475. 1-800-715-3475.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, just a week before the nation's first Republican presidential caucuses in Iowa, the latest opinion polls show nearly equal support for Ron Paul, Newt Gingrich, and Mitt Romney in the state. But Republican strategist Rich Galen says Newt Gingrich does not have a large campaign organization in Iowa. And he thinks that strategy may come back to haunt Gingrich.
I'm not sure that having a conference call every day is going to substitute for being able to have built on the ground operation. And it showed in Virginia. I mean, that's 50 delegates that he cannot compete for because he's not going to be on the ballot.
Galen refers to the fact that Gingrich did not get enough signatures on petitions to be on the primary ballot in Virginia in March. An Arab League delegation is visiting the besieged Syrian city of Homs today. Some reports put the death toll in Syria since the civil uprising began earlier this year at more than 6,000. Robin Wright of the Woodrow Wilson Center says it's surprising something hasn't been done to stop it before now.
There's some estimates that 70,000 Syrians have been arrested. Some of those who've been released have talked about really brutal torture. The scope of this is now getting horrendous.
This week, between Christmas and New Year's, could be pretty good for the nation's retailers. CNN's Allison Kosick reports on the sales projections.
Just last year, consumers purchased $62 billion worth of goods in just that one week. This week, retailers say they expect to top that amount, that consumers are expected to buy up to $72 billion worth of goods.
There's a new NFL single-season passing leader now. New Orleans quarterback Drew Brees reached the 5,087-yard mark last night in the Saints' win over the Atlanta Falcons. That edges out Dan Marino's 1984 record by 3 yards. Brees says it means a lot to him.
Life is too short, and you do have to enjoy these kind of things because they're rare. You just don't know how often they're going to come around. So I'm never going to take it for granted for 1 second.
The Saints beat the Falcons last night 45-16. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her. While she sleeps. No, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she's gonna love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
Economically speaking, 2012 will be better. A little. A survey of economists by AP forecast 2.4% GDP growth next year, but with little reduction in unemployment. A byproduct of our economic pain the past few years is that we have become accustomed to never having to pay full price. All the discounting that kept stores and restaurants in business during the toughest times is now preventing them from growing profit. Typically around the holidays, restaurants get rid of discounts as customers splurge. The Wall Street Journal reports casual chains are keeping them in place this time around. We appear slow to go out to the movies now. Hollywood.com says that even after a strong holiday weekend, 2011 is likely to finish more than 4% behind 2010 at the box office, as more expensive tickets fail to erase the effect that fewer tickets have been sold. Asian markets mixed it up this Tuesday. European stock indexes pushing mostly higher. S&P futures down a half point. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call 1-800-822-7794. That's 1-800-822-7794. Call 1-800-822-7794.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing.
It's not real smoke, just water vapor. Crazy.
I can finally relax without sucking in all those chemicals and tar.
No secondhand smoke.
Quit thinking about it. Make the switch to American Blue Tip right now. It's everything you love about smoking without the tar, tobacco, and carcinogens. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call now for your risk-free trial of American Blue Tip. Call 1-800-673-2635. That's 1-800-673-2635. Quit stalling and switch right now. Call 1-800-673-2635.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
Joining us now from the Council on American Islamic Relations is Dawood Walid. He is a leading expert on relationships between all peoples, not just those of Muslim faith. He is considered a consummate activist, certainly somebody that understands the plight of those of us and that care about relationships that matter, that move society forward. And he joins us today, hopefully, to make some sense of this mess that has been perpetrated by, well, none other than Lowe's stores of all the crazy things, based on a show that's just telling the truth, all American Muslim. I want to thank you for joining us, Dawood. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
You know, at some level, there's a little bit of insanity that's involved. That we're even having this conversation suggests to me that somebody just doesn't get it.
Yeah, and what's really bizarre, and let me first start off saying, in terms of the bigoted blog, Bare Naked Islam, and as well as the Florida Family Association, we get it, that there's always going to be bigots in any society that human beings live in that are trying to marginalize minorities, just be hateful, so we get that. But what we don't get is a corporation such as Lowe's, which touts inclusion and diversity as part of their mantra, their talking points as a corporation, that they would just easily give in to a bunch of bigots and then basically try to give cover to the bigotry. I mean, they claim that the show is so controversial and needs to be discussed in the community and that their advertising shouldn't be behind it. But they signed a contract with TLC to advertise for all 8 episodes of the show for this season, and they knew exactly what they were getting into as far as the content of the show. And then once a few bigots called, it seemed like they value their bigoted callers or their bigoted customers more than civil, right-minded people like you and me.
Yeah, that's cowardice. I mean, you know, we can be nice about it, but there's no need to. And that's just, at a basic level, that's just cowardice.
Yeah, it's complete cowardice. And, you know, if I can put it into the language of the Occupy movement, and this is what I've said publicly in terms of Lowe's, that Lowe's has basically sided with the 1%, which is the fringe extremists of our society, and they've basically turned their back on the 99%, which are the broader American society overwhelmingly who wants to live in peace and harmony with their neighbors of people of various religions and ethnicities.
Well, you know, it seems to me at a time where, and I'll be honest with you, I have not seen All American Muslim because I get up at 2:30 in the morning. I've recorded it, just haven't watched it yet. I'll get to it. But that's not what this is about for me. This is not about watching this. I live in Dearborn Heights. I break bread with people in that community. And I have no idea what the show portrays except for what I've read in the paper. And from what I've read in the paper, it's exactly what I've experienced on an everyday basis with Muslims, which are, they're just people that just happen to be living in Dearborn. And that's all it is. That's all it is. It's nothing more than that. So where's the big deal?
Well, the big deal, according to this organization and this other, this blog, Bare Naked Islam, is that they claim that the show shows, it's propaganda, it only shows good, peaceful Muslims, but it doesn't show the real Muslims who they say are extremists, and which is kind of laughable. But the show is, in fact, depicting the everyday lives of Muslims in Dearborn, and that's what the bigots don't want, because the bigots know that if Muslims are shown on national TV as they are, that it will humanize our community and that people in the broader society will see that Muslims have concerns about public safety, about family life, getting married, about football and apple pie and everything else that Americans like of all different ethnicities and religions.
Well, and of course, you know, somebody had sent me an email earlier on in the show and said, you know, Tony, maybe you can ask Dawood Waleed a question for me. When those that say that, when those that criticize what's happening by saying that, you know, they're not showing the truth about Sharia law and that women are oppressed and that these are communities that are oppressive, that it does all of us a disservice, how do you respond to that? I don't really know how to answer that question.
Well, I want to see where this oppression is at in America. It's called All American Muslims. I mean, Suhaila Amon is a personal friend of mine. She's a clerk at a court. We have a Muslim female who wears a headscarf, Charlene Elder, who lives in Dearborn, who's a judge. We have Muslim females who are professors, who are doctors. We have Rashida Tlaib, who is a Muslim female in
the state legislature,
the state rep. Yeah,
absolutely.
Who works on a lot of issues and who's been pushing back against Manny Maroon and the whole bridge issue. So, I mean, I don't understand what oppression of Sharia that's going on that they're talking about. I mean, I think that the Simpsons show, if anyone saw it on Sunday, and there's a clip they can see on YouTube, the Simpsons show, cartoon actually made jest or made fun of this whole notion about Dearborn being under Sharia and oppressing people.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, and as we were saying earlier on in this show, it's been 10 years since September 11th, and I know a lot of this still comes from a fear of the unknown. People think of terrorists, they think of, and unfortunately, they think of Muslims, they think of Islam. And, of course, they're thinking wrong. And here's the problem. If they would just shut their mouths, and I don't mean to be so rude, but if they just shut their mouths, open their eyes, watch this show, what they are going to find is that there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong. And then even in pop culture, I guess we have amnesia, but still one of the most famous American athletes living and actually worldwide is American hero, presidential freedom medal winner Muhammad Ali, one of the top MCs in the hip-hop industry right now is a Muslim who's openly Muslim, Lupe Fiasco. I think that there's some sort of strange disconnect where we've been placed in a certain frame and people have amnesia, get disconnected from reality.
Well, unfortunately, I just feel like whatever progress we've made, we've not made progress. And that's the disconcerting part of this for me. is that I really thought that at some level we were ready for this show, that we were ready for an honest dialogue, that we were ready to move on, and apparently we're not. And shame on Lowe's for placing the kind of light that they've placed on this issue. Now, they need to wear it. There have been some talk of a boycott. What do we know? As of last night, what do you know?
Well, there are people in the community are saying, just on a grassroots level, they're not going to shop at Lowe's. Across the country, there's been some actions planned already in Maryland and Florida where people plan on actual literal protests in Lowe's. We're not organizing any actual protests in front of stores, but if spontaneous ones come up from the community, we definitely will. We will definitely spread the word about it. But I'd like to also say something very briefly, that people, Americans, but especially in the progressive movement, we need to connect the dots in regards to this Muslim family organization, Pastor Terry Jones, people like State Rep Dave Ejima. It's the same people, many of them Tea Party acolytes, who are attacking Muslims and talking about the Sharia law stuff. They're against immigration reform, and they're supporters of Arizona-style immigration bills. I mean, these same type of people have an agenda. When they talk about taking our country back, they want to take our country back to the times when there was no collective bargaining, when there was no labor rights, when this country was not as inclusive, so that they can support their own little selfish interests of a few people who are basically part and supporters of the 1%. And I think we all need to look at this issue in a broader context, not just look at it as a Muslim-only issue or a Muslim-only problem.
And it's not. And I would suggest the people that you've just mentioned are the real anti-Americans. These are the people that want to subvert to society. These are the people that want to suppress freedom and have no respect for the First Amendment. And if there's one thing I fight for, among all things I fight for, it's, of course, the First Amendment. By virtue of the First Amendment alone, it allows me to do what I do on a daily basis. And I take great offense when people try to eat away at that. And certainly the folks that you mentioned would just as soon see me silenced as anybody else. I understand that it's wrong. It's wrong at so many different levels, and I'm just so offended by this. I'm glad to hear you say that, you know, that there is a, you know, although that there's not a nationally organized boycott of Lowe's, that there is support, of course, if people want to move in that direction. I know that my family will not be shopping at Lowe's. That is for damn certain. And I want to thank you for your time. Know that we are here for you if you should need us. Just know the show is here for you. Feel free to stay connected to us, and we'd be happy to have you back on in the future.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Dawood Waleed, again, with the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Just one of those stories, folks, we're going to keep our eye on. I want to thank him very much for being with us.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up? Diggity doll.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits.
including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and pay time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
My next guest is somebody that is spending a lot of time right now building coalitions for profoundly important reasons, and I'm going to get to him in just a moment. I want to remind you that a little later on in the hour, as we do every day, we'll be visiting with Occupy Detroit. They're with us 7:50 each and every morning. So you'll want to pay attention to that at 7:50. And then, of course, we've got a little time for open lines. But let me turn my attention now to my next guest. Although we have just had him on the show, between then and now, there was news. And I've talked about this at great length. Joining us now is Brandon Jessup. Brandon, of course, is the executive director of Michigan Forward, the group that is responsible, chiefly responsible, for fighting back Public Act 4, the emergency manager law that is anti-democratic and unconstitutional at every level. So let me first of all welcome my brother Brandon back to the show. Brandon, it's a pleasure to have you on, and Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Hey, thanks a lot there, Tony. Merry Christmas to you too as well.
You know, I got to tell you, in the short period of time since I had you on, something egregious happened. The Republican legislature said, I don't know, how do I put this? They basically stuck out their middle finger at you, Brandon, and said, we don't care about the good work that you and thousands of others have done in supporting democracy. We're going to go around the system, and we are going to find a way to stifle your efforts. I can't imagine you're a very happy camper about that.
You know what? I'm not a happy camper, and shame on the Michigan Senate, the entire Michigan Senate, for even letting Senate Bill 865 to pass or to come out of committee yesterday, Tony. And just a quick second about 865. It extends the dictator powers that Governor Snyder already was granted under the emergency manager law. So now they put together this skeleton bill to give the governor power to exact a transition board, not to restore democracy, to restore our mayors and city councilmen and other elected officials that we voted into office, but to put in more of his cronies to further extend his control over communities that have fallen to emergency management. And to be honest, Michigan has got to wake up. This is not a Detroit issue. If they're coming for Detroit, they're going to go get West Bloomfield. They'll go get Novi. They'll go get Waterford. It doesn't matter. If they'll come get me, what will they do to you? That's the question of Michigan. And today we're asking all voters across the state, we're activating the hundreds of thousands of voters that have signed our petition to raise hell in the Michigan Senate and to let these folks know that this thing should not pass the Senate floor, and don't try to pass it to the House.
Well, and, you know, the other thing they've done is they've attached an appropriations to it, Brandon, and I don't know that people understand the significance of what that means.
Yes, they want to make the Michigan's dictator law, the emergency manager law, Public Act 4, amendment-proof, and repeal proof. They want to, one, this Senate Bill 865 changes the Public Act number from 4 to whichever number they're at now. So it would invalidate the hundreds of thousands of petitions that we've already had signed. That's their first plan. The second plan, as you said, Tony, is to make it amendment proof. So it's funny, now they want to violate the Haley Act by taxing citizens twice, not only taxing them to pay for the emergency manager that can make upwards to $400,000 a year, almost four times what any elected official what your local elected official would make, and also tax you again to hire up to seven more people on this advisory board for an indefinite amount of time. This advisory board that Senate Bill 865 allows the governor to put in place a board for an indefinite amount of time to replace your city council and your mayor to dictate how your public dollars will be spent, to dictate who gets the contract, the public contract, and who doesn't. So this is now privatizing our communities for long periods of time, farther past emergency management, never getting us out of debt, and keeping us silent in how our country and our communities operate.
Yeah.
We've got to stand up for democracy today.
Yeah, absolutely, and that has to happen today. Well, I said that in my introduction about building coalitions. You've been exceptionally good about building coalitions. Talk a little bit about those coalitions and what you folks are doing collectively to fight this.
Well, we're activating all of our membership. The Michigan Educators Association, AFSCME Council 25, UAW, the vast amount of churches that we've found now joining on board, calling their congregations. This is not just a labor issue. And Tony, I'm glad you brought up the fact of how broad and our deep our coalition is. Over the last 10 days, I can't stop. My phone broke, shut down on me because of the amount of phone calls that I got from churches and community leaders across this state that want to sign a petition, get a petition to repeal Public Act 4 and to stand up for democracy. So I really hope that the Michigan Senate and the Michigan House is prepared for what's coming to them, because if they thought April was bad, it would be very bad over the next few months around this legislation, especially if they attempt to continue with their process on Senate Bill 865.
All right. Well, what can we do as citizens first? I mean, do we just need to start picking up the phones and calling our senators and telling them enough's enough?
Yes, absolutely. Call your senator. Tell them enough is enough. Call Senator Pavlov, who represents St. Clair and Lapeer counties. Tell him that do not disenfranchise the voice of 160-some-odd-thousand plus voters who signed to vote on Public Act 4. Don't disenfranchise the communities that are already under emergency management, and don't disenfranchise and don't attempt to circumvent democracy for the gain of greedy corporate CEOs. Also, we need to call our governor, tell the governor not to sign Senate Bill 865, not to touch Public Act 4 anymore. Email them, fax them, clog up the phone lines, clog up the email, and really, on top of that, continue to sign and gather petition signatures for Public Act 4 so we can put it on the ballot November 2012. We're pushing past our goal of 250,000 signers. We're going to get that. And the movement is building. Join the movement. Get involved. You can find information at MichiganForward.org. You can call our office to volunteer at 866-306-5168. And today we're having a press conference with our congressional leaders and some of our state representatives and senators, not only against Senate Bill 865, but to call on our Michigan delegation to Congress to intervene and to sit down and talk with Governor Snyder about his actions against voter rights, against due process, and against democracy.
Well, there's no question, as you know, as a citizen of this great state, that you should be offended. You know, we talked about this on the show yesterday. We've talked about this issue a lot the last few days. And, you know, the one thing that is crystal clear is the polling shows the majority of people, and not the majority of Democrats, the majority of people don't want PA4, Brandon. They just don't want it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. 60% of voters across this state, in northern Michigan, that's the area that aren't Detroit, not Saginaw, not Flint,
They say that public export goes too far, that it takes away their voting rights, and they believe in having self-determination in their local governments and local communities. What is Governor Snyder not getting? I know what he's not getting. He's not the soft nerd that you thought he was. He's a dictator that we know he is. Over 550,000 voters in this state know about the dictatorship and the attitude that Governor Snyder takes amongst communities that power this state, that puts this state forward. So now, let's get rid of the whole nerd terminology and start calling Governor Snyder what he really is a big business dictator that we've got to get out of office.
Well, there's no question that we don't have the same, we don't share the same values of this governor, we don't share the same vision of this governor, and although we do have communities that are stressed financially, the answer is not to take away the democratic process and to force an agenda upon us that we cannot that is just beyond unpalatable. It seems to me, Brandon, and we'll close with this. It seems to me that this governor needs to be sent this message. And if the people of the state of Michigan, the people listening to us right now, do not understand how important this issue is, and they do not strike out today, they may not get a chance to ever strike out again.
Absolutely. These changes that Governor Snyder is making to voting rights, to the voice of the people, to democracy in the state of Michigan, these last generations, they don't just last over time, over 2 or 3 years, it's just 6 months, as some of these ultra-conservatives would like you to believe. Where's the Tea Party on this issue? They're silent. You know why? Because they support takeover.
Absolutely.
They support takeover. And that's a travesty that Michigan has now become a Mississippi.
Now, Brandon, you hang in there. You know that we're there for you. Thank you for the update. You just let us know when you need back on. You're back on. We got to take a quick break. Thank you, brother. Merry Christmas.
All right. Now, thank you. Merry Christmas to you. And let's bring democracy home this Christmas for the state of Michigan.
Absolutely. We'll take a break.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with a very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact Blessings in a Backpack, MI.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessings in a Backpack. MI.org.
Great news, people. A hot spot of non-spotted ladybugs has been spotted in Amagansett, New York. This uplifting story is a rich organic mixture of state pride, nature's resilience, America's scientific pluck, teamwork, serendipity, and bug love. In today's hard times, we need this. Let's start with the bug. This ladybug is the classic Cochinellidae beetle, with exactly 9 black spots on its red back. A benevolent and delightful creature, it's beloved by everyone from children to farmers. So beloved that it is the official insect of New York State. Sadly, and somewhat embarrassingly, however, this state official has bugged out of the state. The last recorded sighting of this ladybug species in New York was 29 years ago. Apparently a victim of competition from imported Asian and European ladybug species, as well as pesticides and the loss of habitat, only 90 of the native 9 spotteds have been seen in all of North America in the past decade. But since 2000, a team of diligent Cornell University entomologists and volunteers have kept up the search through Cornell's Lost Ladybug Project. The searchers persisted, even when New York's legislators tried in 2006 to abandon the bug that seemingly had abandoned the state. Luckily, though, legislative inertia killed that effort to replace the state insect, and the Ladybug Project kept faith and kept looking. Then, This summer, lo and behold, a volunteer spotted one sitting pretty as you please in a patch of sunflowers on an organic farm in Amagansett. About 20 more were subsequently found on the farm amidst rows of carrots, beans, and flowers, enough for the project to establish a reproducing colony, while also building confidence that more will be discovered. This is Jim Hightower saying, to keep up with this bit of good bug news, go to lostladybug.org. Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
I want to welcome you back. As we have been talking about from the very beginning of this show, there is a situation out in Garden City that we need your help with, and I'm going to get to my guest here in just a moment. I want you to be mindful that, you know, these wonderful teachers out in Garden City have been working without a contract since August of this year. This is a story that deserves some telling, which is why I have the guest that I have today, and we're going to allow her to do that. What I ask of all of you is to pay particular attention to the details. The facts in this case matter. And I think that once you hear out what Julie has to say, you'll understand why this really picked my interest in the way it did. Joining us now is the president of the Garden City Education Association and a committed teacher, which is why she's on at this time and not in the 7 o'clock hour, because she wants to teach today. And she didn't want to take time away from the classroom to do that, because normally, folks, you know, I don't have guests this early, but happy to have her. Julie Naughton, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Tony. I really appreciate you taking up our cause.
Well, you know, it is our cause. I think anybody that cares about education, no matter where you live, no matter where your children go to school, or perhaps you don't have children or your grandchildren went to school, doesn't matter. This is our cause, Julie Naughton, and it's our cause because, you know, at a very real level, you know, your way of living as a teacher, your way of life as a teacher, I should say, is being threatened by, in my opinion, an administration and a superintendent that has lied and deceived themselves into a situation. And now, as we're going to find out with the very first topic we're going to talk about, which is an insurance option that needs to be dealt with, they are threatening, again, people's livelihoods by making a non-decision, Julie, and we can't allow that to happen.
Correct. The school board needs to vote on a board resolution if we were to pay 20% of our health care, if we were supposed to have a 20% contribution. If, in fact, they take no action, it will default to a hard cap.
All right. For those that don't understand what a hard cap is, explain that or define that for us, Julie.
Well, the school district will be required to pay a limited amount for each of the insurance categories. If, for instance, for a family, the school district would only be able to pay $15,000 towards that person's coverage, when in fact that insurance costs well over $20,000, the employee would be responsible for the difference.
Without a choice is what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely.
So this would actually be almost a tax on your income.
Absolutely. It would absolutely be, it's a salary reduction, bottom line.
All right, and so there is an option, right? You have something called an 80-20 program, which would be, it sounds to me, a much more affordable option for your members. Is that correct?
It is cheaper than the hard cap. As far as affordable, I wouldn't go that far.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's fair enough. But you know, certainly it would be less expensive to your membership. That's safe to say.
Yes, it would be. It would be. It's still going to be a financial burden. We have administrators. Every other employee group will be paying 10% or less of their health care contributions, whereas the minimum that we would be paying would be 20%. And to me, that's just punitive.
Well, it is punitive, but, you know, I guess I have to ask the question, doesn't the legislature have something to do with what you pay? If I understand correctly, they are mandating a 20% participation.
They are. If you did not have a contract ratified by September 15th of 2011, then when your plan year begins in 2012, that's when you would have to pay the increased amount, which in this case, it's going to be the hard cap if the school board takes no action.
All right. Now, my understanding, Julie, is that you have one more board meeting, which is on December 19th. That is correct?
We do.
All right.
Now, 7 p.m.
All right. Before we get to that, though, there's a town hall meeting tonight that Superintendent Michelle Klein is hosting at the Garden City Middle School. Correct?
Yes, there is.
All right. And we're asking people actually to show up to that tonight. But if they can't, we really need them to show up on Monday.
We do. We need people there to encourage our board members to actually vote on a resolution and to vote yes.
Now, look, ultimately, of course, that's, you know, that's what it's what's really interesting to me. And I guess, you know, I'll let you stick to the facts and I'll stick to the opinions. How's that? I really feel, Julie, you don't even need to agree with me. I'm just saying I feel like the Garden City Education Association has been lied to repeatedly. I feel like especially knowing what I know, and we've not given out the whole story yet, and we will get to more of this, but knowing what I know, I know that's true. I know that they have been less than forthcoming with you. As far as the administrators and the superintendent, do they all have contracts as we speak?
Yes, they do.
And it isn't my understanding, Julie, that they actually gave themselves raises, although they didn't call them raises. They, in effect, gave themselves an increase in their pay.
Well, their salary is set in their contract, and at the end of the year, they get a deferred payment.
Which is their way of calling that's what they're calling their raises. They're just calling it a deferred payment.
That's true.
Now, is it also true that they made this decision behind closed doors and, in essence, violated the Open Meetings Act?
Actually, that did happen. On September 14th, there were four board members out of seven present, and they came to the to a special board meeting to vote on three individual contracts. And when the board members, when the board members got to the meeting, some of them were questioning what they were even voting on. And then it was suggested that they go into a closed meeting, and they did that. And for individual contracts, that does violate the Open Meetings Act.
Now, does the date have any significance, September 14th?
Absolutely. The deadline for having a ratified contract was September 15th, so they did it in the 11th hour.
And they did it behind closed doors and, in essence, gave themselves raises and, of course, made sure that their insurance, their contribution would be at 10%, correct?
Correct.
All right. So they took good care of themselves. Everybody else in the buildings have contracts besides the teachers?
Yes, every employee group and every individual, as that's what I'm understanding, that everyone else does have a contract.
All right, so we have two issues here, folks. And this is what I need you to understand. We have two issues. Most immediately, on December 19th, the school board will meet for the last time this year, and they need to vote on what they're going to do with regard to teachers' health insurance. And that vote, either way, is going to cost teachers a lot of money, but one is going to be really punitive. That would be the hard cap. Then the second issue is, Julie Naughton, you folks need a contract.
We do.
Are they not negotiating? I don't understand. You know, you've been without a contract since August, and I just don't understand what's going on.
Well, in January, we began negotiations. The school district was projecting a $3.2 million deficit by the end of June. We continued to negotiate, and that number kept going down. So we're trying to negotiate with accurate numbers. By June, the projected, well, it wasn't projected anymore. They were saying that their deficit was at $131,000.
So it went from $3.2 million to $131,000.
Correct, but that was soft numbers. That was soft numbers because the books weren't closed. So they were still projecting, they were still saying that we were in deficit. With that, this November, the actual date was November 11th, they called me into a meeting to inform me that, in fact, we had over a $3 million fund equity.
So you had a surplus of over $3 million.
Correct.
All right, so at some point, folks, let's do the math. That's a $6 million error? I don't know what to call it. But it's $6 million. If you take minus three plus three, there's $6 million there, Julie. And I got to ask you at some point, and to me, there, it sounds like incompetence is involved, but how do you not know that you have $3 million plus that you didn't know you had?
Tony, I can't answer that question.
All right, I want to ask you to just stay with us. We've got to take a quick break here. Julie Naughton is my guest. Folks, again, it should be clear what we need to do here, but when we get back, we'll be very specific about what we're asking you to do.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Hello. What's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
My guest, Julie Naughton, she is the president of the Garden City Education Association. If you are just joining us, these teachers, the very dedicated, wonderful teachers at Garden City, in the Garden City School District, have been working without a contract since September. Their contract expired in August. They have been showing up every day doing their job. There's no question that's true. Julie invited me out to their membership meeting on Monday, where I had a chance to meet and experience what was going on. They're very, you know, again, amazing, passionate group of people, you know, that spoke from a place of purpose. And ultimately, like everybody, Julie, the teachers want a contract so that they don't have that diversion. But it's not like, and they were all very clear on Monday night that their first priority is students. And I think at some level, and this is just my opinion, Julie, that the administration and the school board takes advantage of the fact that these teachers are so dedicated to the kids, that they're showing up and doing what they're supposed to do, even though they don't have a contract.
They are, each and every day. We're in the classroom, and Tony, I gotta tell you, we're in the classroom with more students than ever before. Actually, they increased our class sizes, and they did it. They did not negotiate that. It's a negotiable issue, and they decided to increase the class size because they couldn't balance the budget.
Okay, a budget that they end up having a surplus on, and listen, all these teachers are looking for is a fair and equitable contract. All right, so first things first, let me make this clear. Tonight there's a town hall meeting. So if I get any of this wrong, Julie, you can correct me, but this is how I understand. Tonight there's a town hall meeting at Garden City Middle School. It's at 7 p.m., and the superintendent, whose name is Michelle Klein, will be there. And we're asking people to show up and ask questions. We'll give you some suggested questions here in just a moment. So if you could show up and support the Garden City teachers in that way, that would be appreciated. That's issue number one. Did I get all that right, Julie?
You did. It's located at 1851 Radcliffe in Garden City.
Okay. And now, on Monday night, December 19th, this is critical. There is a school board meeting where they have one last opportunity to do the right thing and provide at least a little safer, more comfortable measure of insurance protection with regard to cost by voting for the 80-20 program as opposed to not voting and defaulting in the hard cap, which will be, as Julie said, both of them are punitive, but the hard cap would be very punitive. I got all that right, Julie?
Yes.
All right. Now, there is a couple other things, folks, you can do. If you go to our Facebook page at First Shift, you'll see that the Garden City Education Association has provided a link to the Garden City Public Schools. On that website, you're going to see on the left-hand side something that says Contact Us. I would like you folks that can't make it to a meeting to go to this website and send an email. You can do it right on their website. Send an email to them explaining why you're writing. and you let them know that you want them to vote for the 80-20 insurance program, and you want these teachers to have a contract. Now, if enough of us do that, we're going to get their attention. They need to know that there's now outside interest in what's happening in their district in order to help them. And I assure you, if enough of us either show up or call, and of course you can call the numbers, phone numbers right there on the website, so you can do that as well. Just ask for Michelle Klein. They'll put your call through. They need to know that there's some outside pressure. They need to know that people are paying attention. Now, Julie has written a letter to the editor that's going to be in the local paper today. And then, of course, she's doing this interview now. And all of this is about, you know, garnering interest and support for the teachers. At the end of the day, that's what this is about, folks. That's all that this is about, is garnering support for the teachers. I got all that right. All right, Julie?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay. So we just want, you know, we want people to understand that once and for all, you have a voice in how the Garden City teachers' future will look. And I don't care whether or not you're inside the district. It doesn't matter. They need to understand that they cannot be allowed to get away with violating the Open Meetings Act, with negotiating through the media, which, by the way, is illegal to do. Which is something Michelle Klein did. Michelle Klein is a monster, you guys. Now, this is, again, my opinion, not Julie's opinion. Julie has nothing to do with what I'm about to say here. After reading what I've read, after meeting these teachers, after doing my own fact-finding, which I did, Michelle Klein is a monster. She is the worst kind of administrator because she took care of herself first and neglected the most important component in the school, which is the teachers. You heard Julie Naughton say that every other employee group that has contracts has one. You saw that by violating the Open Meetings Act, they protected administrators in the building by giving them contracts that they said that they couldn't afford to do, and they certainly say they can't afford to do it for teachers, yet they did it for these administrators. This is the worst kind of public servant, because they're not serving the public. They're self-serving, period. Now, they've taken care of themselves, and we just cannot allow this to happen. And I don't care what your political leanings are. There's something seriously wrong when we are talking about the one most valued resource in education, the teacher, is ignored. And they're being ignored in Garden City. We can't let that happen. Julie, we only have a couple minutes left. Let me give you an opportunity to address the audience. Anything else that you want to add?
You know, our teachers, they want to be able to go to their classrooms, work with their students. They want to be able to support their own families. We're not asking for anything other than what we deserve. We know that these are bad economic times. Our proposals have been reasonable. The insurance, the hard cap, is something that will be a major financial burden, and especially on our single parents with one child. Now, the school district, Tony, let me clarify this. The school district is saying, oh, well, we're not sure how they're going to be covered. It doesn't matter. If it's a hard cap, these people, this particular group, will be paying over $5,000 for insurance. If it's the 80-20, it's going to be right around $3,000. It's a $2,000 difference for a single parent with a child. So in and of that fact, we need all the help we can get. We need to really push this school board to vote yes on this 80-20.
All right, Julie, we've got a break for the top of the hour. I want to thank you. I know you need to get to the classroom. Julie will be back with us until we get this resolved, because we're going to be doing this together. They wanted to make it public. We'll make it public. That's fine. They don't get to hide. Julie, thank you so much. We'll be in touch, I promise.
Thank you, and our teachers thank your audience, too, and you for your support, and thanks for making us the word of the day.
Yeah, teachers, absolutely. Teachers are the word of the day. All right, we got to take a quick break here.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Hello?
Your husband got you a snowblower for Christmas, didn't he?
It's really cute.
Classic Steve. Well, it's not too late to get what you really wanted.
The savings are just heating up at the Sears After Christmas event. Right now, get up to 25% off Kenmore appliances, 10% off Whirlpool and KitchenAid, plus an extra 15% off all appliances with your Sears card.
Wait, put Steve on the line. I heard you got him a vacuum.
Sears, number one in appliances. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Kenmore offer ranges from 5 to 25%. Offer valid 12/25/11 through 1/5/12.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-715-3475. 1-800-715-3475. 1-800-715-3475.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift. Weekdays from 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Riddle. Top story this hour. In a sense, it's a sprint to the start. With the Iowa caucuses just 1 week away, this is the first official electoral event of the season, and the Republican presidential hopefuls are hustling the votes. CNN's Bob Costantini reports from Des Moines.
Republican candidates will be all around the Hawkeye State today. Ron Paul is the front runner for the caucuses 1 week from tonight, though an American Research Group poll has Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich all within the margin of error for the top spot. GOP strategist Rich Galen argues no matter who the nominee ends up being, President Obama's in for a tough fight.
Enthusiasm among Republican and Republican-leaning voters is much higher than it is amongst Democrats.
Iowa's Republican core of Christian conservatives helped Mike Huckabee win the caucuses 4 years ago, but his campaign quickly faded. Bob Costantini, CNN, Des Moines.
As an Arab League delegation arrives in home Syria to investigate reports of a government crackdown, protesters appear to be taking to the streets again. A live internet interview or video from the opposition shows thousands of people chanting in the streets. Now, we can't verify the activity because CNN journalists are not allowed inside Syria. Nine people were arrested at the Mall of America yesterday after a series of fights that involved dozens of people. The shopper says he couldn't figure out how it all started.
Some people are running, some people are just staying. People are, like, confronting each other, like, in the middle of people just walking. And, nobody was even around. They were just going at it.
A Nigerian government official blames an extremist Muslim group for Christmas Day attacks on churches in that country that killed 35 people. The Boko Haram sect claims responsibility. Journalist Hassan John says the group appears to be well-organized and well-funded.
It looks from all indications that they're well-sponsored because they have held the federal government of Nigeria to ransom for more than a whole year. Indeed, getting to 2 years now.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The year is quickly coming to a close, so now the time to prepare for the new one.
Hurry into Sears Auto Center this week to save big on all top tire brands. Plus, get an extra $70 via mail-in rebate on four qualifying Michelin tires. And get a Valvoline oil change for just $21.99 with coupon, and we'll throw in a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your holiday shopping list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real deals for real drivers. Sears Auto Center. Sale and rebate ends 1-3. Coupon good through 12/31. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
The holidays aren't over yet, but you're so over them. Keep the holiday cheer going at Dave & Buster's with our Eat and Play combo starting at just $15.99. So bring your family, friends, and uninvited house guests for the latest and greatest games like Fruit Ninja, House of the Dead 4, and Big Bass Wheel. Then keep the holidays going and check out our epic late night deals, because it's time to go from grinching to grinning and end the year right. Only at Dave & Buster's. Offer available all day Sunday through Thursday, Friday and Saturday until 5 p.m. Prices may vary by location. Limited menu, see store for details.
Might not be much hooray in Hollywood this year. Movie industry tracker Hollywood.com reports this past weekend was strong for the film business, but not strong enough to reverse the fact that this year is ending with 4% less business at the box office than what we saw last year. High movie ticket prices and uninteresting movies are getting a lot of the blame for that. Coming up a half hour before this morning's Wall Street opening bell, we get the latest reading of the nation's housing market. The S&P Case-Shiller Index of Home Prices for Major Cities The reading is expected to show yet another decline in U.S. home values. One holiday shortened week to go in the year 2011 for Wall Street. The NASDAQ is more than a percent to the negative for the year. So this is the chance if it's going to do anything. Right now, NASDAQ futures, though, are down a point. S&P futures are losing 3. Dow futures right now negative by 16 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Congratulations. The job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call 1-800-822-7794. That's 1-800-822-7794. Call 1-800-822-7794.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing.
It's not real smoke, just water vapor. Crazy.
I can finally relax without sucking in all those chemicals and tar.
No secondhand smoke.
Quit thinking about it. Make the switch to American Blue Tip right now. It's everything you love about smoking without the tar, tobacco, and carcinogens. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call now for your risk-free trial of American Blue Tip. Call 1-800-673-2635. That's 1-800-673-2635. Quit stalling and switch right now. Call 1-800-673-2635.
Good morning and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
Pleasure to be with you this morning. Let me, as I promised you, I'm going to have Bob King with us in just a second. I want to let you know, though, before we do that, that yesterday I was given a gift. I spent the better part of my morning yesterday with the brothers and sisters of my adopted fraternity, my union fraternity, the UAW, Local 174, stuffing food baskets for those that are needy in Southeast Michigan. One of the people of the hundreds that were there, a couple hundred people there to help, was none other than my next guest. Joining me now is the president of the United Auto Workers, Bob King. And Bob, I got to tell you, what a gift that was yesterday to be a part of that amazing display of solidarity and give back to so many. It was really a beautiful morning.
It was great. It was great. It was really especially meaningful because it was the 50th year that Clarence Contrato had been part of and really organized this annual giving food boxes to needy members of the UAW who have been laid off or members of the community. A lot of work and the need was so much greater. Is so much greater this year, and they did an amazing job.
Yeah,
250 baskets.
Yeah, 250 baskets. I got to tell you that what amazed me about Clarence Bob was that no matter all these accolades are coming at him, he got all kinds of awards, and all what did he care about? About everybody getting to work. I mean, that's what he cared about.
Right. That's great.
Anyway, it was great to see you yesterday, and I'm so glad that I was able to take part in that, and certainly, you know, Bob, it's interesting as we take a look at the year 2011. The UAW has a great deal to be thankful for. As Mark Brewer just said and paid you a wonderful compliment, certainly through your leadership, we found out what happened when people are willing to work together. And in your case, people meant some very important people internationally, Bob.
You know, the only way, in my view, that you're going to maintain a middle-class standard of living for UAW members is to bring others up to our level, not us, not take our members down to the lower middle class or poverty level that a lot of the world is, a lot of our own country is. And the only way you're going to do that is through collective bargaining. And we showed, I think, in the auto bargaining and in gaming and in AgEmp, you know, and the state employees insurance, all the contracts we did last year, we really worked together with employers to create more jobs in the U.S., to be more efficient, higher quality. Workers have the greatest interest in the success of the company, more than shareholders, more than CEOs, shareholders. Everybody else comes and goes. Workers are there. It's their livelihood. It's their retirement security. And so workers want to have a real voice in providing the best service or the best product. And we were able to get a number of employers who understood that. Some employers don't. Some employers want to just dictate, and then they end up giving lesser quality products and services. If they'll work together with their workers and give their workers a real voice, they come out with better products and overall better success.
Now, you know, months ago I was at a rally that you were at, and you gave me what I thought was the keenest the slogan I had heard, and really kind of set the table for me as I was about to get ready to do the show. And you had said that the budgets are a moral document.
Right.
And Bob, recently you wrote a piece called "The Republican Agenda is Wrecking America." I juxtapose those two things, and it breaks my heart to see what's happening to our country. And I wonder, and I pray, I truly do. I get on my knees, Bob King, and I pray for a state and a country and communities that will learn to transcend the pettiness of politics and begin to heal this country from whatever it is it feels it needs to be so hateful right now. But there is such vitriol towards other peoples right now and our neighbors. And Bob, it makes no sense to me.
It really doesn't. Dr. Martin Luther King, Archbishop Tutu, a lot of great leaders, Archbishop Romero, in El Salvador, all said that that there is not revenge. A Christian doesn't have revenge. Revenge for a Christian is the conversion of the other person. And what we want to do in society really is because I think there is a strong spiritual basis for a lot of people in their beliefs in the United States, but their actions don't coincide with their beliefs. How they vote isn't coinciding with their beliefs. If you really believe in any of the spiritual doctrines, whether it's Christianity, which is what I believe, or whether it's Buddhism or Muslim or whatever, all the major religions talk about the responsibility to care for those who are most in need. And our government right now, or at least the Republican and the conservative portion of governments up across this country, they're cutting, taxing pensions, cutting K-12 education, increasing property taxes. All these things on working class people. I just heard coming in this morning, the Republican Congress, the House of Representatives, John Boehner said they're not going to pass this 2-month extension. That's going to put a tax on every middle class working person in America. And it's all about politics. And you're right, because they want to permanently extend the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest. If you vote Republican, just be aware of this. You may have a lot of reasons for doing it, but be aware you're voting to make the rich richer. And if that's what you believe in, then that's your democratic right. Do it. But if you believe in a more egalitarian, fair society, then, and Democrats aren't perfect. They're not. But at least if you're given two choices, which one is going to work more in the interest of the common person, more in the interest of the whole society, rather than just one group? And the Democrats, for all their flaws, are definitely going to do that. And so to me, this 2012 election coming up is critically important.
No, there's no question. You know, and certainly the UAW, like many labor unions, are actively involved in the process of elections through the CAP program, through recruiting candidates, through so many different efforts, Bob King, that it probably has never been more important than it will be in 2012. And you know, I recently was asked to participate in a program this January at Region 1 to help, you know, kind of solidify the idea of what, you know, political activism means and what we need to do to, you know, include more and more people. I suggest, and I've been suggesting this for months now, that if you're in a union, you need to get closer to that union. If you want change, union is the best way to find that change. I don't know that that's any truer than it is at the UAW, Bob.
No, I mean, that is totally true. The path for working people to have a real voice in society is their unions. And unions are human institutions. They make mistakes. And the only way that working people can have a real voice is to get active in your union, help your union be better and better. The more members that are active, the more members that are involved, the stronger the union is, the more democratic the union is. So I would really encourage all members, whether they're in the UAW or AFSCME or steelworkers, whoever, that being active in your union is the best way to maintain democracy and to maintain your middle-class standard of living or build your middle-class standard of living. If you don't have one today, then you want to get active in your union. If you don't have a union, you want to be part of organizing your workplace to give workers a collective voice.
No, there's no question that's true. You know, it's interesting, and let me leave you a little bit with this, Bob. I appreciate everything that you've done for all of your membership. You had given that list, whether it's auto workers or people that work in casinos or UAW Local 6000 and many other workers. You've had an incredibly successful year, and certainly working with leadership, global leadership, to make sure that the middle class is protected. I certainly want to thank you for bringing jobs back to the United States, something that most thought was a crazy idea. You made that work. Bob, you've done so many things. My prayer is that God keeps you safe, because I think we need you next year more than we even needed you this year as it comes to leading us politically, as you led us from a business standpoint this year. We certainly need you next year politically, and so we want to pray for a good rest for you. That's necessary. We need you to get some rest, and you need to know that there's an army of people working on behalf of the things that you care about as well, Bob.
Well, you know, we're blessed. It is about all of us working together. It's not about one individual. It's about all of us. And UAW, as you know, we've got a great team of officers and regional directors and local leaders. There is a huge commitment institutionally that we're gonna win economic and social justice for people in America, and that means being very active politically. It means great efforts at organizing. I'm really excited about, I think, the positive results you'll see from organizing in 2012 in the UAW and a lot of other unions. We're in many broad coalitions, and probably most important is that we rebuild the social and economic justice movement here in the United States. Whether you're environmentalist, whether you're civil rights organizations, women organizations, immigrant organizations, anybody who cares about making a better world and cares about and thinks that every individual human being has value, we've got to come together. Because if you go back to FDR, which is, in my view, the greatest amount of social legislation, progressive social legislation, was passed during his presidency, and it was only because there was a movement of people demanding it. Some people blame President Obama that we didn't get enough accomplished over the last 4 years. I blame ourselves.
No, we
weren't out there creating the pressure from the bottom up, and that's what we have to do.
Well, that's what 2012 brings us. Happy holidays to you. The blessings of this season. We'll look forward to visiting with you again in 2012, Bob.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Blessings to you. A quick break here.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
I've been teasing this next segment. We're going to get to that right now. If I were to tell you that there were a candidate for the presidency that had executive experience, legislative experience, private sector experience, successfully is running a bank that is profitable, did not need the federal government to come in and bail it out, maybe a little more conservative than some of you would be comfortable with, but is level-headed, has been both a Democrat and a Republican, has served his country and his state numerous times throughout his adult life, Harvard-educated, by all intents and purposes, a serious, legitimate candidate for the presidency. Would you not say the Republicans, and by the way, he's a Republican, the Republicans would be lucky to have them based on what we currently have. Now, tomorrow, as many of you know, the Republican candidates for the presidency will be coming to Oakland University to debate. They will not have my next guest amongst them. And that person is Governor Buddy Romer. Governor, pleasure to have you on First Shift this morning.
Thank you, man. And I didn't know it was voting day in Michigan. It's voting day in New Hampshire, too. So it seems to be a national disease, doesn't it?
Well, that's the kind of disease you want people to catch. We want Absolutely. People to go out and vote today, Governor. First Absolutely. Of all, let me thank you for making the time to come on this progressive talk show today. I find that we actually have more in common than not in common. Certainly there are things that you and I could easily disagree on, but plenty of things True. That we could absolutely agree on. But before we get to the issues, as I set it up, you heard the way I introduced you. You've got everything the Republicans would want in a candidate. I mean everything. You've got the experience. You have a track record that you can be proud of. It's pristine. They can't come after you. You don't have sexual harassment lawsuits pending against you. You're not flip-flopping every other word. You're not being ignored, or you are being ignored. And I got to ask the question, why are the Republicans ignoring you?
Because I talk about the one issue they don't want to talk about, Tony. I talk about money. I talk about politicians with their little hands out. I talk about special deals. I come from a land of corruption. That was Louisiana 25 years ago. Hell, I appointed an inspector general. I beat a corrupt governor. I put people in jail. We cleaned that state up. It can be done. It's hard work, but it can be done. And, I consider Washington, D.C. the capital of corruption. Here's how I mean that very specifically. When a big check can come before a good idea, when special interests run the show and average people are ignored, when China can roll across our borders with their cheaply made goods, by children and prisoners, and nobody says a damn thing about it, this nation is in trouble.
Well, there's no question that is true, and it doesn't matter what political party you belong to. That's as applicable to the Democrats as it is to the Republicans. Nobody can deny that. There's just...
Unfortunately, and I'll give you one fact. 4 years ago, when two decent men were running for president, Obama and my man McCain, they received more money from lobbyists and PACs with Washington, D.C. addresses than 32 states combined. The 98%, the 99% have surrendered. They've given the government over to special interests. And I've been out of politics for 20 years. I don't miss politics. I like the debate. I like the combat. And I like the service. But I'm telling you, I walked out of my house and back into politics for one reason, to challenge the money that has stolen my country.
Now, listen, you have obviously attracted the attention of the alternate media, the mainstream media,
yeah,
to some degree has embraced you, but not in a way that you would need in order to garner the kind of national headlines that that help candidates for an office like the presidency. And so I need to ask the obvious question. Is there any way, Governor Romer, that you can win the nomination of your party?
You know, I might be the only president to win the office never having a debate. I mean, I can see President Obama and Buddy Romer having 5 or 6 hour-and-a-half or 2 hour debates across the country, one in Michigan, one in the Deep South, one in the Northeast, one in the West, one in the Midwest. I can see that happening. But what I can't see happening now is me getting a chance to present my case to Republicans that our party needs to focus on reform and include others in our proposition. And secondly, that we cannot build a nation with just one party, Democrat or Republican, that we need to have a leader who is unafraid, free to lead, and reach across party lines and pull this country together. I worry about America, Tony. I think we're in serious trouble. I think the housing boom covered up our job losses for about 10 years, but it's been coming for some time, ever since Bill Clinton was president, ever since we eliminated Glass-Steagall and lost our banking system, ever since we did NAFTA. I think this country has been bleeding jobs, and I don't believe anybody's going to do a darn thing about it until they're free to lead. I start with the money, and then I go straight to the jobs.
Well, you know, and interestingly, if you take a look at the issues, and you have plenty, and the website is... I believe it's buddyromer.com, is it not?
That's right.
Yeah, just go to...
Don't mind spelling Romer for me, Tony. It's R-O-E-M-E-R. That's how I survive.
Absolutely.
And small people going to the website.
And we're absolutely going to get that up on our Facebook page and make sure people know how to find you. If we go to the issues, and we're going to talk about some issues. If we go to the issues, one of the things we'll find out, and again, I said we're not going to agree on some things, but on a lot of things we do agree, just by virtue of what you just said. NAFTA, biggest mistake this country may have ever made.
Man. I mean, terrible. I mean, how do you give away 3 to 6 million jobs and act like it doesn't make any difference? Now, the best jobs in America in terms of building an economy. Now, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a professional politician. I grow jobs. That's what I do. I became governor of Louisiana when we had an unemployment rate of 12.8%. When I got through, it was 5.6%. I know jobs. I know what companies want. They want to have some sense of confidence that the plan includes them and doesn't punish them. Small business wants a chance for some deregulation, not total deregulation. That would be stupid, just like banks need to be regulated, but some balance in regulation. These are the things we need. But NAFTA started us down a road of free trade. I am not a free trader. I'm the only person running for president who's been a congressman and a governor and who is not a free trader. I am a fair trader, and our trade deals continue under President Obama, President Bush, and particularly President Clinton to give our jobs away and act like we're all going to benefit because the goods are cheaper. What the hell difference does it make if you don't have a job?
Now, you got that right. And in fact, one of the issues that I'm very passionate about, and in fact, I belong to a group that was founded by one of the UAW locals that is Fair Trade Over Free Trade. And we meet every other week. In fact, we'll be going tomorrow night to protest the Republican candidates' debate because they ignore the issues that we care about. Certainly here in Michigan, Governor Romer, fair trade is on the front and center of every working man and woman's mind because we understand what NAFTA did to our economy here in the state of Michigan.
Well, let me tell you, on the big issues, guys, we agree. And let me tell you why I'm not in Michigan for this debate. I love my chances in Michigan as a balanced conservative, but who is very forward-thinking on the jobs place. I mean, I've got a record to show that. The reason I'm not in Michigan is that I don't take but $100 as my maximum gift. I take no PAC money. I take no super PAC money. I fully disclose everything I receive. Now, I've done this all my life. This is not new for being president.
No, Governor, I'm Congress. I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We got to get to a break, and we got some phone calls to get to as well. Governor Buddy Romer, my guest, R-O-E-M-E-R, R-O-E-M-E-R, BuddyRomer.com is the website. Again, we're going to get it up on the Facebook page. We'll take a quick break here. David in San Francisco, your questions up next to the governor. A lot to do yet here. Stay where you're at. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock on this election Thursday. My guest, Governor Buddy Romer. He is a Republican presidential candidate for the presidency of this great United States of America. And he is, again, you can find him online at BuddyRomer.com, R-O-E-M-E-R. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. What I care about is that you have an open mind. If you go to his website, you're going to find that a lot of the issues, we're going to get to some of them in just a minute, a lot of the issues that the governor likes to talk about will resonate with you no matter what political party you belong to, which, again, makes me scratch my head a little bit. If I were a Republican operative, I would want a Governor Romer to be out and about, out in front, because they could probably listen to this, folks, and as a hardcore Democrat, they'd have a tough time. Obama have a tough time beating Governor Romer. I'm telling you, he's that interesting. Governor, we've got
a hell of a race.
Well, it would be a hell of a race. God knows that's true. Let's go to the phones and welcome David in San Francisco. David, welcome to First Shift. You're on the air with Governor Buddy Romer.
Yeah, good morning, Tony and Governor. You know, in history, the looting of America has happened probably, 20, 30 times. I'm a baby boomer, so it's happened at least four or five times. Jimmy Carter during Reagan, during the first Bush, during the subprime, and now currently, and of course we've got Enron examples, and there have really never been prosecutions of these old boys, and I'm just wondering, do you have historical examples that you can give us of successes and what you would tangibly do? I'm struck by the news up in Detroit there. They're planning on bulldozing 30,000 houses. Now, if I understand right, these are houses that the banks can't find title to. And so as part of the settlement for not having title to houses that they sold illegally, they're going to bulldoze the houses. Now, why is it that America has to watch its assets be bulldozed rather than allowing people who got cheated of those houses the right to move in and become taxpayers again?
All right, David, let's give the governor a chance to answer that. Thank you for your call, David. Go ahead, Governor Romer.
The big banks control Washington, David. You understand, don't you? There's 7,400 banks in America. There are 19 on Wall Street. They have 80% of all the deposits. They have formed an oligopoly. Not quite a monopoly, but pretty close. And presidents depend on their election from the Wall Street checks. I mean, let's pick on this president, but I could pick on any. Maybe I should pick on Bill Clinton. Let's start with Bill, because I know Bill well. He was governor of Arkansas when I was governor of Louisiana. We were the two youngest governors in America. We tried to work together. I just couldn't count on what he said, but that's another story. When Bill becomes president of the United States, he works like a tiger to eliminate Glass-Steagall. That's a Franklin Roosevelt initiative passed by two congressmen from Virginia and Alabama, Glass and Steagall. What it did was it said that banks could not merge investment banks with commercial banks. It limited the size of banks without ever naming a number. And it spread the risk in banking. Well, guess who did away with it in 1999? Bill Clinton, with the help of the Republicans in the Congress. So there were both parties working together to get the funds from the banks. The banks loved it. They got huge. They doubled, and they doubled again. They got paid more. They had big bonuses. Oh, yeah, they took risks. And the housing boom hid the risk they took. And then the day came it was called, and George W. Bush was then president. And what was his answer? Did he reinstall Glass-Steagall? Oh, no. Did he cause banks to have to put up more capital to keep their size? Oh, no. Did he do away with too big to fail? Oh, no. He bailed them out. Then here comes President Obama. President number three on my list of culprits. He signed a bank reform bill, Dodd-Frank. It didn't eliminate too big to fail. It didn't reinstall Glass-Steagall. It didn't increase capital ratios as banks got bigger. It did none of those things. Obama signs it. The next week he goes to Wall Street. He has a fundraiser at $35,800 a ticket. And guess who the host is? Goldman Sachs. David, we have never seen a rape and pillage like we are seeing over the last 10 or 15 years. And it's like Tony said, if he'll let me say it too, it's not one party. It's both parties. And you know why? Because they get their money from those corporate kings. That's how they get their money. And so I run for president not having all the solutions, although I like my jobs idea, I like small business, I like energy independence, I like America being strong again and not being the policeman of the world. I like that. But my key is a president needs to be free. Goldman Sachs does not need to run Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. has been corrupted by the money. We need to clean it out. When you think of me, I want you to think of a broom. That's what I do.
You know, Governor Romer, I got to tell you, if there are Occupy Wall Street people listening to the show right now, and I know there are, they'd like you. They would like you a whole lot.
I've been to Occupy Wall Street, Tony. I'm the only candidate that walked down Wall Street and spent a half a day listening to the young people on Occupy Wall Street. I've been there. No other candidate has been there in either party. The reason I went was I know the power of young people. I remember it growing up in the Deep South on a farm when my daddy had a cross burned in his yard. We were a Methodist family who believed that all citizens ought to be treated fairly and properly and respected, and we were disowned in our community, and we would not back down, and young people changed America. I remember being at Harvard, that's a small school in Boston, studying economics, when the Vietnam War came, and the kids rioted in the streets, they protested in the streets, and eventually they stopped that war. I went to Occupy Wall Street for two reasons. One, I respect the power of young people, and politicians ought to learn to listen. And number two, I think they are exactly right on the issue.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
They say the early bird gets the worm, which is fine with me because I really don't want a worm. I did, however, want one of those Ferrari FFs that Neiman Marcus was offering in its Christmas catalog this year. With a 651-horsepower V12 engine, this baby can top 200 miles an hour. That would really shorten my commute, except, of course, for little hindrances like rush hour traffic, uptight cops, and speed bumps. Yet, just having an FF parked in my driveway would speak volumes about my prestige and personal worthiness in this world. Start with a beautiful interior done in semi-aniline leather. I don't know what aniline is, nor do I know why it's only semi rather than full aniline, but I like the fact that Neiman's throws in a matching three-piece set of luggage, including a travel bag for golf clubs, made out of the same stuff. There's beaucoup room for luggage, too. The FF has 16 cubic feet of trunk space, which I think is bigger than my bedroom. However, I have to say that I'm not wild about the car's color, which the catalog calls Grigio Caldo. Huh? I learned from an Italian dictionary that this means warm drab, which doesn't exactly light my fire. But maybe the dull color is why these Ferraris are priced at only $395,000 each. And what the hey, you can always take the car to an Earl Scheib paint shop and have the color juiced up. What makes the FF worth the price, though, is its exclusiveness. Neiman's made only 10 of them available, and get this, each one comes with a numbered plaque, thus certifying that you're one of the 10 most special humans on Earth. This is Jim Hightower saying, but alas, I called too late to get mine. Neiman said that it sold out within 50 minutes of the sales date. It just shows how tough it is out there for us luxury shoppers, and you thought you had it bad.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persan, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Joining me now is Frank Houston. He is the chairman of the Elton County Democratic Party, and he's with us today to talk to us about something that certainly is unconstitutional, and I would venture to guess illegal. Frank, thank you for giving us of your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Tony. I'm glad to be on.
Have I misrepresented that at all? I mean, you know, is this simply a matter of, I mean, because it sounds kind of silly, doesn't it?
No, I mean, you know, it would be funny if it wasn't such a serious undercutting of our democracy. I mean, to give you a quick rundown, I mean, in Oakland County for the county commission districts, we have our own apportionment commission, just like every other county in the state has. This has been going on since 1971. So when you add all the different county redistricting plans for these county commission seats that have been passed into law, it's over 500 of them in the last 50 years. And never once in history has there been an attempt to retroactively change the redistricting process, A, after those plans have been, you know, begun and then finally submitted and approved, and then B, after the courts have upheld them. So this isn't just an undercutting of local government. This isn't just an undercutting of kind of a time-tested statute. This is also a partisan overreach from the legislative branch into our judicial branch of government, and it's a shocking partisan overreach.
So the audience understands what we're talking about now. In Lansing last week, some folks just decided, hey, listen, we don't like the way they're doing things in Oakland County. Only in Oakland County, by the way. And I want to point that out for a reason, Frank, because it'd be different if they were looking to change the way they do apportionment around the state. They're not.
Right.
They're picking on only Oakland County. Why would that be, Frank?
Well, I think it has something to do with the fact that for the first time in history, we have a quote-unquote Democratic majority on the Apportionment Commission. So just so your listeners all understand, the way county redistricting happens, not just in Oakland County, but every county in the state, by a statute that was passed in 1966, is the two party chairs, as well as three of the countywide elected officials, those being the prosecutor, treasurer, and county clerk, those five individuals sit down and basically pass the redistricting plan together. Now, myself, I come from a good government, nonpartisan background. I can understand people saying, well, why are the party chairs being involved? But the reality is that there's one Democrat, one Republican chair, and then these three countywides. It really has been a statute for the most part that people haven't complained about. There hasn't been a lot of attempts in the last 50 years to overturn it. And even if you wanted to move to a more nonpartisan and say, well, let's get rid of the party chairs being involved, I can understand that. But to change the process after the election, after the maps have been approved, and doing it just for Oakland County because we, for the first time, have a Democratic majority is really, once again, a partisan overreach. The other thing to note is the way they are suggesting to change it, they claim they want to get the politics out of it by removing the party chairs. I'm fine with that. But they actually are giving it to the Republican county commissioners. Basically, they're saying, let's have the county commissioners pick their own voters, draw their own districts only in Oakland County where Republicans have a majority on that county commission. So it's a real blatant attempt to just get themselves back in control of redistricting in Oakland County. And secondly, any good government reform expert on either side of the aisle in the country will tell you when you do redistricting reform, you don't want legislators, even at the county commission level, pick their own voters in their own districts. It should be the other way around. Voters should pick legislators, not legislators pick their voters.
Yeah, well, that's the way we all understood it, at least in civics class, that's the way we understood it. So that brings me back to a pretty basic question, Frank. In civics class, this is the way it's taught. This is the way we all understand it. So now it becomes about partisanship in a very uncomfortable way. Oakland County and specifically the Democrats in Oakland County asking the state legislature to do at this point?
Well, I think two simple things. First of all, I think the Senate, which is where this just to be clear, this passed out of the House committee and out of the House all within a week of when it was introduced. So this is fast tracked. So what we're asking for now is the Senate basically if they want to do committee hearings and talk about this long term, that's fine. But not to pass this bill right now and not to allow it to go out retroactively. So that's the first thing, is to make sure that they don't pass this specific legislation in its current form. And I think the second thing is really to have some sort of real discussion around redistricting now is a good thing. And I think looking at, if there's ways to have more nonpartisanship in the redistricting process, I'm all for it. Better transparency and accountability for the plans that are introduced. I think that's great. So really, my ask is simple. One is reject this really blatantly unprecedented partisan overreach that Representative Jacobson from Oakland County introduced in the House. And then secondly, start having the conversations now about real redistricting reform for the whole state, and as well as for the state legislative districts and congressional districts, which I have obviously been gerrymandered. Instead of just picking on Oakland County because you don't like the fact that three Democrats happen to sit on our apportionment commission for the first time.
Well, okay, so now let's talk reality, because we've got a track record now. We've got almost a year's worth of legislative agenda. We can take a look at the way the Republicans like to do things at the state level. And we know that they traditionally ignore what Democrats ask them to do, and we've got plenty of precedent to prove that. I don't need to point out... I don't need to enumerate the bills, Frank. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
this
yeah.
audience knows what I'm talking about. Are you prepared to take this to court if need be?
Oh, yeah. I mean, without question. But my hope really is that, you know, obviously Republicans care about, you know, picking up seats and protecting their power in any election year. But I think even if you know, talking to some folks in Lansing, they're a little embarrassed about this, too. I mean, it might pass. I'm not going to say it won't. But my hope is that, you know, if not in the Senate, then the governor stands up and acts like the adult in the room and says, you know, this has even gone a little too far. Because this is really unprecedented. I've never heard of an instance in the country where you change redistricting retroactively after an election, after maps and have been approved and after the courts have affirmed them unanimously. And keep in mind, the Republicans actually still can appeal. The Court of Appeals upheld our map by unanimous 3-0 vote, but they can still appeal it to the Supreme Court. They just have to appeal it by December 28th, and the court has to accept obviously a Republican Supreme Court has to accept the case. So they still have opportunity to have their day in court, and if not, the legislative route, we'll have our day in court, I'm quite sure.
Well, I'm quite sure we will, too. And unfortunately, it wastes a lot of time and a lot of resources, you know, and frankly, at a lot of different levels. I mean, we could say that this is, this is about the racial bias, because I think we could easily make that argument. I mean, every single thing that touches the electoral process is offended. It offends my senses. Every single thing about this stinks to the highest heavens. And I'm so pissed off at Republicans for continuing to legislate their way. And this is their own form of bullying. You know, the one thing that maybe they should have passed in the bullying legislation is, you know, how to prevent themselves from continuing to pick on innocent people.
I couldn't have worded any of that better than myself. I mean, the thing that, you know, there's so many things that's wrong with this, but I think the bottom line here is it's not just going to be a bunch of Democrats screaming in the Capitol or at a county commission meeting over in county asking Brooks Patterson to stop pushing these sorts of games. But, you know, I think this is something, I mean, even like the press last week, Friday, wrote an article about the kind of buffoonery of it and outrageousness of it, you know, the spinal column. I mean, all these local papers have picked up on it, and I think it's just going to get worse for them. I mean, there is a tipping point where voters realize that, you know, you're undercutting democracy. And you know, Tony, one last thing I just want to add. The saddest thing about it, from my perspective, is, you know, when I was first put as chairman of the apportionment commission by unanimous vote, and Bill Board, the Republican county clerk, was the unanimous second in charge of redistricting in Oakland County by our commission. So it was a bipartisan commission. And we really had the most transparent, open process the county's ever had, and passed legally the strongest plan, most nonpartisan plan we've ever got. The plan that was adopted wasn't some sort of Democratic hack job. It really is a swing map that either party is competitive in from presidential to the gubernatorial year.
Listen, I don't mean to interrupt you. We're just out of time. Listen, let's stay in touch, and let's make sure that we keep this audience updated on what's going on, okay?
Great. No, thanks for having me, Tony, and please call your legislators.
Absolutely, everybody do that. Frank Houston, chairman of the Oakland County Democratic Party. A quick break.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Joining us now is Cheryl Whitten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we, as the Michigan Board, will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
As I was sharing with you earlier on in the show today, we've got Congressman Hanson Clark joining us. Now, a little later on this morning, he and Congressman John Conyers will be holding a press conference to place some needed attention on the plight of our veterans who are returning from war, some of them, of course, disabled, that don't have jobs. And this morning at the historic Fort Wayne, again, Congressman Hanson Clark and John Conyers will be there to talk about how we salute our veterans. And on the line with me now is Congressman Hanson Clark, my good friend. How are you this morning?
Tony, it's great being on your show. You're a real champion for our people here in Metro Detroit. And you're right. Today, 10 a.m., historic Fort Wayne, we're going to salute our veterans. And the best way to do that is to help them find a job, get them the health care that they need, the shelter that they deserve. The reason I say shelter, many of the men that I see downtown Detroit that are getting their food and their breakfasts out of garbage dumpsters are veterans, which is an outrage. So we wanted to bring the veterans, their families together to meet the providers that can help them with the services that our veterans need, but to meet with them face-to-face under one roof this morning. That's at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So we're urging all veterans in Metro Detroit that need help finding work, getting health care, finding shelter, staying in their homes, avoid foreclosure, please come to historic Fort Wayne. I'll be there personally to be your advocate, Congressman Hanson Clark.
All right. Now, I got to tell you, this is, of course, a wonderful thing that you're doing. I know that President Obama has a special program out there. I can't think of a less partisan issue than helping our veterans. Why are the Republicans stalling on this? Do you have any idea, Congressman?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to focus on helping the veterans right now. And, you know, these cuts, though, that are being proposed, especially the Veterans Administration, that would just devastate any help that our veterans could get. These cases are backlogged right now as it is. Many of our veterans that call the VA, they can't get through because of all the calls. So we can't really cut resources from that are going to our veterans because our veterans desperately need it right now.
Yeah, you know, and let's be mindful. We're not just talking about recent veterans. We're talking about any veteran, right? It doesn't matter when you served your country. It just matters that you served your country.
That's exactly right. And the tragedy is that many of our veterans that need the help the most that are out on the streets served us in Vietnam. And that's outrageous for them not to have a home right now. So we wanted to make sure that the veterans and their families. Also, we're busing some of the veterans from the shelters right now so they can meet directly with the people that can help them get the health treatment that they need and the job training that's important.
All right, well, let me just share the veterans that are listening, or if you know a veteran, by the way, that would need this, folks, let me get you some information here. They're going to be connected with over 25 agencies that provide vital social and economic resources. These agencies focus on job training, higher education, entrepreneurship, and many other opportunities that are available to veterans that I'm going to guess veterans and families aren't even aware that this stuff exists.
That's probably true. And I'm glad you mentioned about entrepreneurship. You know, many of our veterans have the skills that they need to go in their own business. We want to provide them with that assistance because they can create jobs for many people in Metro Detroit.
No question. Well, again, let me remind everybody, the historic Fort Wayne, let me give you the address, folks, in case you need to MapQuest it or something. It's 6325 West Jefferson Avenue in Detroit. That's 6325 West Jefferson Avenue in Detroit. The zip is 48209, and it's real easy to find. Should be an amazing day. And again, Congressman John Conyers and my guest, Congressman Hanson Clark, will be out there today. Congressman, thanks so much for your time today. I'm sure you're going to have a big turnout.
You're very welcome. Our veterans deserve our support because they've sacrificed everything for us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Congressman.
You're welcome.
We'll talk soon. You bet.
That'll do it for us for today. I hope you enjoyed the Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Remember to add a like to our Facebook page. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. That's T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Remember to punch back in with us weekdays from 6 to 9 in the morning right here on 1310 WDTW. Have a great day, and as Tony would say, be well.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-719-2640. 1-800-719-2640. 1-800-719-2640.
I started using drugs when I was 13 years old. I started with pot, like most people probably do, alcohol, cigarettes, and eventually moved up to methamphetamine and went on to cocaine and eventually ended up on heroin.
I did not have a life. I mean, I owned a multi-million-dollar advertising firm and I couldn't function.
My husband packed the children and left. I had no idea where they were. But none of that mattered. All that mattered was smoking crack.
My parents, brother, and sisters are just baffled. How could somebody that supposedly has so much be so miserable and keep throwing his life away?
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, "You're going to die if you don't get help." I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift. Weekdays from 6 to 9 right here on 13.